Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
This episode of the Rooster Teeth Podcast is brought to you by Onnit and their flagship product, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain is the first fully balanced nootropic designed to increase focus and mental drive. For our listeners, get 10% off when you use promo code ROOSTER at Onnit.com/gaming. That's Onnit.com/gaming. Further promotional consideration is brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is a domain name registration and management that's simple. For 10% off of your new domain, go to Hover.com/roosterteeth and enter show code roosterteeth.
Alicia Pratt.
Back in 08 at the beginning of December, Yuri Glaskov died, a Russian cosmonaut, remember? Oh, and also on a break from making movies out of games, for a buddy sat down and they go by the names of Bernie, Jeff, Joel, and Gus. The list ain't too long, oh, and Gus, because I know you choose the theme song. Who's put this on an episode that makes me look intelligent? Not one without that lineup, because it makes the song irrelevant.
Bernie, Jeff, Joel, and Gus, entertaining us by discussing such.
Is there any more to that?
No, that's
no,
it.
That was it. That was energetic.
That is, welcome to the Rooster Teeth Podcast.
What's your name?
I'm Gus.
I'm Gavin.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Bernie.
Wow, that's a relief.
Joel? Welcome to podcast number 181. Can you believe it? 181.
Yeah, you just told me.
I'm saying it again.
Oh.
How many decades is that?
That's five decades of podcast.
Gavin? Actually,
technically, it's two decades of podcast.
It's not two decades.
It's two decades. We started in 2008. No, the 2000s and out of the 2010s.
In two decades.
Gus, you would have made a great marketer because your math is so shitty.
A great marketer. Did you hear about the great offers sponsoring Rooster Teeth Podcast?
I looked this up. A nootropic. I wasn't familiar with the term nootropic, so I looked it up.
I didn't realize it was actually spelled N-O-O.
Yeah.
It sounds nootropic. Very unscientific.
It's a big deal. It's a big market. I feel like there's quite a few of them out there. You know, Alan, our sales guy, is a big nootropic fan.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Does he take the ones that the Onnit ones that we're advertising?
He sure does.
Okay.
Alpha Brain.
How are you guys working out on that?
He's Onnit.
Good. I'm Onnit. I switched. I was taking them at night to try to enhance dreams. But I've switched to taking them in the morning to try to increase mental focus throughout the day.
Is it working?
Yeah, I feel pretty sharp.
Yeah,
I have to say he read that entire ad without flubbing once, which is yeah. pretty goddamn impressive.
Well, it did say roost teeth, but that's okay.
Did you take note of that?
You know, Gavin, it's really fucking easy to sit on the sidelines and criticize. Guess who's reading the next ad?
I'm out here making stuff.
Dude. Does it matter when you take them? You're like, I used to take it at night, but now I take it in the daytime. If you take it during lunch, is that like...
When you take it at night, it definitely affects your dreams a lot more. Like, when I take it in the morning, I still feel like my dreams are kind of more than normal.
You're just hallucinating in the daytime?
Fucking dreams nonstop.
I haven't taken those at night yet. I was taking the sport for the day, but I have a very sporty day of sitting at my desk all day. So, like, I felt spunky at my desk.
Hey, Michael, what is your story? Like, do you work out?
A little bit.
Dude, you're buff.
Sometimes. Yeah,
you're looking pretty buff.
But you weren't always buff. Like, you used to be a fat kid, right?
I wasn't a fat kid. I was a fat adult because I got lazy. I was. Like, I was skinny my whole life, you know, generally without trying. Just had, like, a good metabolism. I ate McDonald's a lot. But especially when I started working.
You just described everybody as a kid, by the way.
Yeah, but... No, there's definitely fat kids. They're out there. I was not a fat kid. I was always a skinny kid.
How hard is it to be fat as a kid? I really wanted that.
It's gotta suck.
Dude, some of them.
Especially, like, if you only imagine you're gonna get fatter, it's like, my God.
Well, I mean, it's gotta be legitimately, it's gotta be difficult to be fat as a kid.
It's gotta be
purely, well, yeah, you get made fun of nonstop.
Purely genetic.
I mean, just to get fat. It's gotta be hard.
No, they get made
not
fun of.
All the time.
No, I mean, it's like the actual process of eating enough calories with that metabolism at that age to gain that much weight.
They're trying to minimize their movement to the absolute.
Dude, right. Kids have heart. Okay, if you believe in something, just go and dive in. Eat another Snickers bar.
Encrusted, clogged heart. Yeah. They've got it. Beating in that little fat chest.
If you really want that fucking, you know, extra bag of Cheetos, you'll claw your way through it.
I felt that as soon as I turned from 22 to 23, that's when I lost the ability to just shove food down me. I got a little belly.
Guess what? Shut the fuck up. Nobody else wants to fucking hear about your problems from turning 22 to 23. Shut your fucking juvenile mouth.
I only get carded for liquor like 95% of the time.
What'd she say?
Juvenile.
You said shut your Jewy mouth. I'm not Jewish.
Juvenile.
Yeah. I get it now. Thanks. So, right, I want to talk about something. I've got a giant nose. Obviously, everyone in this room knows about
it. It's fucking enormous.
I'm wondering if this happens to everyone or is it just me? When, if you drink, I always take this little snap thing off the top of the cans because when I drink,
the tab.
I make a little, like, plink sound like this. It does that. It goes, God, like, in my nostril and then it pings back out. So I always have to take this bit off.
So, for people who couldn't see that, he took a drink out of a can, and the tab went up his nostril and scrapes on the way out.
Yeah, it kind of goes just like...
Does that hurt?
No, I'm used to it. But I always snap that off. Does anyone have that? Or is
I'm
going to
get a can of Coke. I got to try this.
I absolutely not have that.
Get me one also. Okay. I've never encountered that. But the side thing here is, why do you drink it at a fucking angle like that? Why don't you drink it head on with the tip of your nose where you won't get caught in a nostril?
Also, you have the tab bent so far up.
Because it hits the bridge of my... It's the septum. It's like, look how far it goes up my nostril. It's not intruding on my skin.
Look, his tab is like this. He's like, it
goes like that. I have to push it down.
It's like at 50 degrees, dude.
My, what?
Never mind.
It was,
I'm
like,
not
straight up in the air.
It.
No, my nose, like, lifts it, and then eventually I just have to snap it off.
Your nose is looking against you. It's fucking funny every time.
The sound is satisfying. I'll give you
satisfying
that.
Satisfying plink.
It's being forced upon him, Gus.
The other thing, I don't...
Seriously, I compared nostril sizes with Barbara. She can't fit her middle little finger up her nose. I can fit my whole thumb up my nostril.
Oh, she's not trying. You need to apply yourself.
like that far? Yeah.
It's good. It's been...
Oh, great, now I'm going to open my soda with the thumb that I just stuck up my nose.
It's okay. Gosh, it's your boogers. You can eat it.
Hey, you know what? I don't teach you a trick. Oh, you know it. So I've opened cans of soda my entire life, and somebody finally taught me the easiest way to open a can of soda. Which is... No, you like... I'm usually doing this, but you press on the front of the tab, and it lifts up the back end.
Yeah, who wouldn't do that?
I never knew that. I never thought to try that.
I didn't know that.
I'm confused.
So put your thumb on the front, Michael. Yeah. Press down on the tab, and then use your other finger then to lift up the tab in the back. So it just lifts it up.
It feels weird, though.
Pardon me.
It feels weird.
All right, I'm going to try.
Also, I just opened this can for no reason.
No problem.
Now, see it just doesn't go anywhere.
It pushes the nose. Watch. Now, I'll demonstrate. Hang on, Lee. Bernie's made a mess.
Bernie just had a spill.
I was just trying to replicate your problem.
Hang on, hang on. Did you try to do it? Oh, okay.
Did you wish? I had to try really hard to do that.
I don't want to try that.
I can't do it.
No, everyone else is fine. I've just got a giant schnoz.
You remind me of, like, Lois from Family Guy. Like, just a giant triangle on your head.
It's my Italian side.
Did you have an enormous nose as a kid and then just never grow into it? Is that what happened? Or did you just grow along with your nose?
My nose and the rest of my head have always been out of sync. I had like an adult-sized nose when I was a kid, and now I have a giant nose as an adult. So it's okay.
Do you think your nose is still growing? Like, is it not going to stop?
Doesn't the nose always grow?
Does it?
It might.
I think your nose and your ears grow.
Dude. And your wee-wee.
What's that?
And your wee-wee.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure, like, everything just gets saggier. And, like, it looks
maybe
longer.
Gravity pulls it. It stretches it.
Yeah, that I believe.
I'm sure that happens when you go from 22 to 23. Yeah.
Thanks for nothing, Isaac Newton.
Gavin, you know, wait till you get to 25. All right? It's insane. You know what I'm talking about, Bernie.
I do. Yeah. I know all about it. How old are you?
25.
Are you really?
Yeah.
So you're that much older than Gavin.
How did you break your glasses, buddy?
I broke my glasses because of metal fatigue.
Oh.
So.
The hell does that mean?
I set my glasses down, and then I ended up laying on them. And then that, like, twisted the earpiece.
You
know,
that sounds more like you broke them because of Bernie fatigue.
Well, yeah. And then you know how you bend it back into place, and you know you only get, like, so many bends out of a piece of metal?
Bernie?
Yeah, so I just... And then
you know when you have a bit of plastic, like a bit of colored plastic, and you like, bend it, and it goes white? It, like, brightens on the bend.
Right.
Is there a way to undo that? Or is that, like, a permanent change
Pretty
in
Pretty sure that's a plastic scar at that point.
You can't, like, reverse that with science.
With a dye, maybe.
Put ice on it. That's what I would say. Apply heat and then ice. What'd you do?
I just remember, like...
What did you just remember? You're just like, this one time I bent a straw. I remember. How these fucking thoughts pop into your head?
He's got to think about something to talk about in the podcast.
Well, he's looking at himself in the mirror. He's, like, just thinking about the world.
So, Gavin and Michael work for our
Rooster Teeth
gameplay division of Rooster Teeth, which is called Achievement Hunter.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, is one of our major products on YouTube. Billions and billions of views there.
Billions served.
And one of the coolest things that they sell, which is a very popular item, is they have these Achievement Hunter slap bands. And Gavin, if you've ever watched Awu, they, like, throw them around and snap them on each other's hands. Gavin has one in particular that is his favorite slap band.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
He selected it, like, out of 100 that came to the office.
Yeah, they all bend slightly differently, but this one has the best fit for my arm.
It's like his wand.
The other day, Bernie...
chose him?
The other day, Bernie took it off me and then ran around the corner, and then he bent it and came back with it bent, and I was like, do you know what you've done? And he was he's smart enough to know how much I care about this slap band. He swapped him. He swapped it for another one.
It looked like it had been chewed up and spit out. His face, it was like a single tear went down his cheek by his enormous nose.
it took a minute to get down to the bottom.
The next day, it fell off the nose.
I don't have a sentimental one like that, but it is funny because there's like a shitload of them just sitting in the office. So Gavin, like one day he was sitting there, he's like, no good. This one, maybe. And he's just like making a pile, and then he just like broke it down where then he had like the final three, and he's like, all right, this is it. He just chose it, and he always wore that one and only.
The funny thing about those is we made them to be inserts in the RTX bag, you know, our convention.
Yeah.
And like after we made them, we got a few samples in, like everyone loved them. We're like,
they're awesome.
Holy shit, maybe we should make them and sell them.
I put it on with my watch now. It's like a thing I wear. It's permanently on my wrist.
So if you would like one, you can go to roosterteeth.com/store.
How much are they?
I have no idea.
I'll look it up. But clearly,
I think they're $5.99 for two.
You don't want to buy just one because
thank God they come in a two pack. Right. Buy at least four six packs.
Gavin has clearly illustrated.
There's 30 in there.
You can get an amazing one. You never know.
Yeah, you could get Gavin's.
We should ship those to conventions. Like we're going to PAX this week. I have no idea why we don't ship them.
I don't know why.
Just grab a bunch, stuff them in your pocket.
Why do we only make one kind of them? Well, I mean, we
just discovered it.
We just randomly chose Achievement Hunter to give us.
Oh, they're really old. Are they like from the 80s or something?
Yeah. And why don't we make one for the fucking podcast?
Have
we stopped making merchandise for the podcast?
That's a great idea.
Is that where
we are now? What merchandise is that for the podcast?
Like a fucking T-shirt from the old name.
No, they wouldn't sell that anymore. It's discontinued.
I know.
We don't have anything.
It's horseshit.
Headlight fluid shirt. I want it.
We had a survey. On the website asking people what kinds of merchandise they like, and podcast merchandise was the number one most requested
piece of
merch.
That's
don't people always request what doesn't exist though? I mean, it's not like the easiest thing.
Also,
like,
none of those people will buy it.
The podcast is also free. Will the merchandise be free?
That's true. Hey, wait a minute.
All right, I'm looking this up now. Where is our...
Dude, we would sell a stack of these at conventions.
I said this. I think I may have mentioned this on the podcast. I'm not sure. But when we got the first, like, six of these before RTX, before we got, like, thousands of them, we had six in the office. And it was like... We were like Power Rangers, like, running around with, like, the Morphers. Like, there's six on the planet. And then there's, like, thousands and, you know, kind of lost its luster. But I still like them.
Yeah, they're
cool. Now you can be a Power Ranger, too.
Yeah, your logo on the store site looks like a Power Ranger thing, all your fists in the middle showing this. Okay, the Achievement Hunter logo slap band. It's a two-pack for $6.95. I said Achievement Hunter, jackass. You can't fucking hear.
Dude, your nose got in the way of his ear.
I love you.
That's what happened.
So, Gavin, with your enormous nose, now that we're talking about it.
I broke it. It's broken.
Does
what?
It? That's not what made it big, though. Just made it...
Yeah, that's what made it bent and crooked, though.
look, he's got shit on.
It goes to the left.
I think everybody's got that a little bit. I had a buddy in college, Scott. His nose was fucking 45-degree angle.
I fell on it when I was a kid, and it looked fine at the time when I was about three, and then it grew in a sideways...
You fell on your nose.
I just tripped out the back door onto my nose.
Oh, my God. Really?
Please hit the table harder next time you fucking tell that story.
I like Kevin too. His nose is so big it doesn't even fall on his face. He falls on his nose.
It like stopped him.
Yeah. And then I end up just like rocking.
Yeah, then he tilted to one side, fell and hurt himself again. He fell off of his own nose. So have you ever thought about getting jobs based on your nose? Like, could you get like a commercial for an allergy medication? You could be like the before guy.
No, I'm thinking like Kleenex. Like the show blowing. I bet you can blow the shit out of that nose.
Dude, you'd be surprised.
How does it look in slow-mo? I've
never done that. I always want to do a sneeze. But I don't sneeze through my nose. I sneeze through my mouth.
Are you self-conscious about your nose at all?
No, I don't. I was going to say I don't have to look at it because I do though. I can see, everyone can see their nose, right? Because mine is like right in my vision.
If I look down, I can see it.
If I look down and cross my eyes, I can see mine.
Mine's always there. I'm always being reminded.
It's like playing an FPS instead of a gun. You got a nose.
Gavin, and the Gavin can never turn his head off.
And the right trigger just goes.
Someone's farted. Gavin, this is the thing about the Achievement Hunter office, though. Gavin always gets farted on. Like, if anyone has to fart, it goes to
I'm
Gavin.
I'm getting kind of tired.
Guys. Of the, it's right. True. This is a professional work environment. I know. You guys are paid to come here.
You know. You had to shush me earlier because I said something and I forgot that I was in a workplace. What was it that I just said?
Oh, you guys think
so, yeah, let's repeat it on the podcast.
Well, it's actually entertainment on the podcast. When he walks out into the middle of our break room and says about his friend, he goes, oh, Dan will fuck anybody who messages on Facebook. I said, Gavin.
I'm going to send him a message right now.
So
it's because we got a funny message on Facebook.
Oh, Gavin sent me.
Oh my God.
He showed me his phone. He showed me a funny message from a girl.
Do you want to read this out?
Okay. Am I reading the first message?
Don't say the name of the person, but okay. There's a message to me from a girl on Facebook.
Huge fan of the slow-mo guys. Love your work. Am I reading the whole conversation?
Yeah, read it.
Okay, do you want to be the girl? I'll be the girl and you be you, okay?
I'll be the girl.
I'll be the girl. Right, you're always the girl. I want to
you're
be the girl.
You're the girl last time, Brady. Let us be the girl.
I'm a huge fan of the slow-mo guys. I love your work.
Thanks.
I don't know if Daniel's told you about me. Ha ha.
I don't know. Maybe. What should I know about you?
He may have mentioned a threesome.
That's the kind of...
Capital D colon.
What is the capital D? Is that like a super smiley?
Is that a super frowny
face?
It's
like a oh my gosh face, I guess.
It's like a frowny face. Like, he didn't tell you?
So Gavin showed me this. Guess how smart Gavin's getting. Gavin showed it to me, and while he's looking at it, there's the response bar. I immediately tapped it and typed in okay. It said... But it's a fucking screenshot. He was smart enough not to show me a live version.
Whenever
of it.
I show someone on my phone, I take a picture.
I already saw him send okay anyway, so it
so it all works out.
Yeah.
So you should film that slow mo.
That conversation's already happened.
Spit roast.
Yeah, right.
I believe that first thing Gavin got that when we were at lunch, and he goes, "This girl almost down and out of spit roaster." And I was like, "I'm sorry," and he's like, "Spit roaster."
I was like, "You gonna spit it around?"
Jesus. Well, welcome to the chauvinistic pig part of our podcast.
Welcome to a top 5 podcast on iTunes.
No, I don't diddle the fans.
So we were talking earlier. Gus, before he read the ads today, mm-hmm. He was talking to Lindsay, Lindsay, don't cut these ads. Apparently, Lindsay cut the ads out of one of our podcasts.
Yeah, luckily I caught it, though.
So Lindsay, who is your lovely girlfriend, mm-hmm. Michael, she is the young lady who edits the podcast. Let me ask you a question, Gus. Why doesn't Lindsay sit in? Lindsay just walked in.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
It's like she heard her name. She doesn't even work in this building.
Happened again. It happened to me at a party where I mentioned somebody and they walked in, too. Hey, Lindsay, come in here.
Lindsay!
So the question I have is, if Lindsay edits the podcast, and we always like talk to Lindsay about notes, why doesn't Lindsay just sit in here, even on days when she's not on the podcast?
I feel guilty taking her time. She's got a lot of stuff going on, and I feel like I only get one day of her work for the podcast, and I don't want to spend it in here.
Okay. Lindsay.
Does that make sense? Yeah. You also do like the recap. What else do? You do the recap. You do other production stuff. You're probably editing DVD shit.
RT Life and the recap are the other weekly duties that I have. But other than that, I just hop on to whatever project needs a doing that week.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of RT Life, people should go and watch Michael chucking up a 5-pound gummy
bear. Whoa, we don't know, Gavin. I could have won.
Yeah, well, you could still win and chuck it up, though.
No.
Yeah.
You're gonna
ruined it.
I didn't spoil anything. You just spoiled it.
I won.
Hey, Lindsay, cut it.
Edit that out.
Note to self.
So last week we had, you probably remember, we had a discussion where there was a contract for a bet in which Gavin was going to pay Michael $500 if he could eat a 5-pound gummy bear
mm-hmm.
in 90 minutes.
And I was actually worried. He had so much confidence that I was a bit scared of it.
It's also Gavin makes the worst bets ever, and I just destroy him usually in every bet. And it's always some dumbass, like...
I've spent a lot of money on nothing.
It's usually not hard. It's more stupid. He'll go for dumb. Like he bet me to drink up an entire bottle of barbecue sauce.
That was
like,
dumb.
All right.
8-3 packets of mayonnaise.
Do you know what? The entire time that we were in Australia together, do you know what he kept trying to get me to do?
What's that?
He wanted me to sit in a fountain, any fountain that we passed. I had to sit in it for a minute and cry and then get up and leave with wet pants.
Would have absolutely done it.
That's been my go-to bet. For like 4 years.
What is it?
No one has ever done it.
He just said he'd do
what
it.
What do you want? Just cry?
Sit and just cry in
like,
a fountain
just
for
have
a minute.
To sit and like look really sad
there's
and cry for a minute.
Let's go.
While you're getting like splashed with a fountain.
There's probably one at South Park Meadows.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
But we don't have to. The whole point is we're not just going to go to a fountain. You have to be like passing by a fountain.
Okay.
Like, go and cry in that for a minute.
All right. Well, maybe if you came out and we strolled around some fountains a little more, then the fucking bet would have come up.
You
but
guys
no.
go out all the time, don't you?
Not by fountains, apparently. He's avoiding them.
We do lunchtime swims.
We do lunchtime swims.
Do a bit of swimmies.
We do nighttime drinkies.
Crying in the pool.
How did the kid from Jersey befriend a kid? Where the fuck are you from in England?
Oxford. Oxfordshire.
How did this bromance grow? What happened?
It's pretty good, man. I'm really happy with it.
It's good. It's a good relationship. I'm happy with it too.
Like 3 years ago, I used to have a little bromance going with Brandon, but. We don't have that. We don't have that anymore.
You're so finicky.
You lost it.
Well,
lost
I'm just jealous. I just realized I've never been invited to lunchtime swims.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't come anyway.
What's up? How do you know that?
Don't put that on him. Don't project.
We drink Sunny D and vodka as well.
It's true.
That sounds awful. I wouldn't want to do that.
It leads to bad things. Don't do it.
Yeah, no shit.
So you guys go on your lunch break. Michael lives somewhere
God
close by.
Damn it!
What happened?
Gavin keeps hitting the desk over and over again.
No. He keeps putting his fucking drinks on my copy. This is a repeat of like 2 weeks ago. Again, the exact same thing. I'm getting it ready because I have to read it in a minute.
At least my headphones are on the right way this week.
Again. No, they're not. They are not on correct.
Well, I actually looked. I tried to do it right.
You're so dumb.
Wow, they were.
You're so dumb, you fucking idiot.
You might have looked at, like, maybe in your vision, your nose blocked the top of the R and made it look like an L.
Maybe I was just looking off the reflective surface. And it looked like that was
I've given up on pointing out the fact you put your headphones on backwards because I just assumed that's the natural state for you. That's why I didn't even say anything about it. I don't even think I said anything last week about it.
No, probably not. Maybe.
You're still on backwards. I don't care. You can be wrong for the rest of your life.
Put the top of it in front of your eyes like your fucking visors.
I'll put them on the front and the back.
There you go.
Hey, do they make Bluetooth earphones for an iPod?
Yeah.
I want to get that.
Can you Pretty hear? Sure can you hear through your head?
Yes. Yes, they have a... I forget the name of the brand of it, but there was a cell phone headset you could wear, and it would. There was no mic. It was just an earpiece, but it would get your mic through the...
I think Jawbone made it. Wasn't it Jawbone?
Yeah, I want to say it was Jawbone. That's where the name comes from.
Yeah, but if you like sealed... say you poured... like wax into your ear and it's a perfect seal for your ears.
Yes.
Would sound travel through your face to your ear?
Let me tell you something, Gavin.
Here we go. Again, let's
prepare to get signed.
I'm going
to
try this.
Have you ever seen a game show where they put someone like in a... They're talking about something from someone they don't want them to know, so they have to put headphones on?
Yeah.
Do they hear through their fucking face?
I think they also play music on that.
Yeah, that's...
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Or maybe they do. But well, no, you can't. What if there's a perfect seal in your ears? You can't hear.
I think you're wrong.
The sound would travel...
I'm doing it.
It's not a perfect seal. I'm talking like... You're talking about a vacuum, right?
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about like there's no air gap whatsoever.
Well, a vacuum.
So you're talking about a vacuum, right?
That doesn't mean
how
a vacuum.
How dare you call my seal not perfect, you fuck. my fingers in your ears.
A vacuum... There's air in there, though, isn't there? Like, sealing your ears wouldn't make it a vacuum on the inside.
So you do it.
Yeah, it would.
No, it wouldn't.
Oh, you're right. There should be air in there.
Well, based on your theory, deaf people could hear because they can, like, feel sound.
But deaf people aren't deaf because they've got blocked ear. They're deaf because their eardrums don't work.
That's true. But that would be the best cure ever. You go to the doctor after 30 years of being deaf, it's like, I got some shit in there.
here's a Q-tip.
What I'm saying is sound is just like a vibration of the air, isn't it? It's like a frequencies of air moving.
Okay.
If it's something is loud and forceful enough to travel through the skin and bone on your face to your eardrum... Having something in your ear wouldn't affect it. Surely there's an explosion loud enough that you can hear with perfectly sealed ears. Because the sound goes through your head.
I could see that, okay.
I mean, it's also why your voice sounds different when you listen back to it on a recording, because you're used to hearing your own voice through your head.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Or when you push it underwater.
It would be horrible, though, if to hear through your head you had to walk around with your mouth open all day.
It probably would help.
It probably really would help. Catch more sound.
So I guess, too, like, you have to wear, like, a metal or, like, a plastic, or like a balaclava that covered your entire head so you couldn't hear. Well, then...
Well, let's find out. I think we have an RT light in the making
can
here.
Can we just go the cheaper route and just put a plastic bag on his head? I'll tie it and see what happens.
Can you hear?
Can you hear me now?
Watch it turn blue in the face.
Did you ever listen to those, what's it called, binaural sound things where they record with the two mics exactly where their ears would be?
Yes.
And they can, like... They have a fake, like, mannequin head with mics in the exact same place an eardrum would be, and, like, put a bag on the head. And when you listen to it with the right headphones in, it feels like someone put a bag on your head.
Because it would be backwards for you, because you have your headphones up backwards all the time. But do you understand what he's saying? So
no, I've
they
never
set
heard
up a
this.
Recording, and they have two microphones, and they set them equally apart as what your eardrums would be. And the left mic is the left channel, and the right mic is the right channel. So when you listen back to these things, there's a bunch on YouTube.
So it's like directional almost.
So what
like
it is it takes...
Like, well, beyond directional, like you could pinpoint exactly where stuff's supposed to be.
Yeah, you can pinpoint location because your brain can differentiate the very slight delays in sound between one ear and the other that you have like a visual map of where that is, even though it's not there.
So like a guy who walks around the setup talking, and you can close your eyes and you know where he is in the room.
So something I never thought about till right now is if you're deaf in one ear, you can't tell where sound's coming from?
I think that's true.
Well, you might be able to be just from the loudness of it.
True.
It wouldn't be as accurate.
Like distance. Sonar?
There's also certain angles, I think, in front where you've got like a hearing blind spot where you can't tell whether it's in front or behind. There's like a certain angle between your ears.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's really cool, those binaural things. There's one where you're getting a haircut.
Yes, and that's like, the one I remember too.
And it feels like he's shaving your head.
It's on YouTube,
really
you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so cool.
You need a pair of stereo headphones for it to work properly. But, you just go on YouTube, and I'll look up the title now.
That's really interesting.
It's top.
I always wonder why deaf people couldn't develop, like, sonar where they just scream at stuff and then, like, feel the...
Have you always wondered that?
Yes.
Is that something you've always wondered?
Since I was born, I have questioned this. But, like, think about it. You think
they don't have receptors
do
for the sonar.
They'll invent
one.
Well,
no. What do you mean? Why would deaf people do that?
Yeah. Well, one, it'd be awesome because it would scare the shit out of people.
Well, you would only... Are they scared of predators now?
You would hate all deaf people.
They don't need to... You would think blind people would do that.
Yeah,
that's why bats have sonar.
I'm gonna go now.
There's a video of that guy.
I like Lindsay's like Academy for the Handicap. She has blind people who walk around. They just punch. It's like they run down the street punching in front of them. It's like the worst possible solution.
They just walk in the direction of the hand that hurts the least. Well, I broke my wrist, so I'm going to get this way.
The blind people are running, windmilling their arms, and the deaf people are all screaming.
This is the greatest war ever.
Just unleashing two armies towards each other. Just a load of windmills and a load of people yelling, getting punched in the face.
Jesus.
What does that look like?
How do we get here?
All right, the YouTube video is called The Virtual Barbershop.
I think it's called, like, Cetera or something like that. That's a word.
Cetera?
Something like that.
All right, go for it.
See you, Lindsay.
At one point, he leans in and whispers right in your ear.
Yeah.
He's, like, doing this stuff, and then he just goes, like, Cetera. And it's really creepy.
It's got 13 million views, which... Wow. Also, congratulations, Gavin. You have a video that just broke 20 million views.
I can't get my head around that number. Sometimes I'm sat in like a football stadium and I'm like, this is a dump load of people in here. And it's like 25,000 people.
Yeah.
20 million people.
So it's like almost for every person in that stadium, like 1,000 views.
Yeah. That's a lot.
If everyone in New York and Los Angeles and Houston and Chicago watched your video, that's about 22 million.
And they did, Bernie. They did.
It's probably more than that, isn't it?
What is New York? Is New York 10?
I thought New York was like 14.
Okay, sure.
It's like a third of the UK.
What is?
20 million.
A third of the UK. That's a crazy way to look at it. A third of the UK.
It's like two-thirds of Canada, right? Canada's only like 30 million.
What's that?
Isn't Canada only like 30 million people?
Is that really?
Like Britain and not the UK. Maybe.
Do you count like Canadians as a full, like do they count as a full American?
The conversion's pretty much one-to-one at this point.
I was amazed at the population of Canada. It's like... 90% next, right next to the border of the U.S. There's, nothing up there.
I think it's, 90% of the overall population of Canada lives within 60 miles of the U.S. border.
That's really crazy.
Holy shit.
It's like an empty...
They want to nestle up to this greatness, baby. what's up? You want to get with a winner?
They want to feel the heat.
The winner
resonating off the top of America.
We're like the blankie. They're pulling up. my American blankie.
Comfy. I want to remind everyone that this podcast is brought to you by Onnit, O-N-N-I-T.com, and their flagship product, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain is an all-natural supplement. It's the first fully balanced nootropic cognitive enhancer designed to raise levels of all major neurotransmitters and clear up mental fog. What that means to you is in games, you have faster mental speed, quicker reaction time, and increased focus. Onnit has a bunch of great other products to help for your mood, immunity, energy, even hemp-based protein shakes. And I know that Tom Taylor, who's T-Squared, he's a professional gamer, has been raving about it lately. So if you go to onnit.com/gaming, that's onnit.com/gaming, and enter coupon code Rooster, you get 10% off of their fine products.
Is there any caffeine in it?
No.
It's caffeine-free, but it makes you more like...
I had the product in with me last week, so if someone asked me about the ingredients, I could read it, but I forgot to bring it in with me.
It's on Gavin's desk. He also kicked the table really hard. You need it while you're doing that, and he almost fucking cried.
I saw. I was trying so hard to maintain.
Good job.
I was focused, thanks to the Alpha Brain.
The Alpha Brain kept you focused while Gavin was fapping
about. Reading. Yeah.
Speaking of me banging my knee, we did a rage quit together the other day. Last week.
Yeah, we did.
And we're playing Slender again. It's just a super jumpy game. It's not really that scary. It just scares the piss out of you.
It's not that scary. It just scares the piss out of you.
Yeah. It just makes you really jumpy. And I leant back and I banged my knee on the underneath of his desk so hard.
You are like the jumpiest, cattiest person ever. Just you're like cattiest. Cat. It's like a cat. The second something happens, he wants to fucking fly off and just cling to a wall or something.
We actually recorded some live action. Are you going to put that up as a separate video?
Yes.
Like a behind the scenes? Uh-huh. That'd be good. I'm flinging all over the place.
Your video actually has, in the last 30 seconds, has the picture-in-picture of you guys actually doing it.
Yeah, but I think they're going to put the entire...
I'm going to make a behind-the-scenes video, which is all... It's just clips of the picture.
Real quick, though. Explain what the game Slender is for somebody who's never played it.
It's about the Slender Man.
Thanks
for the fucking explanation, asshole.
You're walking through the woods. You're trying to find pages on...
What's Braveheart about? It's about Braveheart.
That's a pretty courageous guy.
I appreciate it. What's Star Wars about? Stars. War.
Some people fighting in the stars.
What's Star Wars about? It doesn't have Batman.
Okay, what is Slender?
So you're walking around the woods, it's dark, it's nighttime, you're trying to find 8 pages, and the longer you take to find pages, this dude is following you through the woods, and he will crop up in certain places. If you look at him for too long, he'll get all up in your face and kill you. But you basically have to run. You've got a flashlight. So, it's just very scary.
You're being hunted by this faceless dude.
So the longer it takes
to get pages, that's when he shows up. I always thought, from watching, because I've only ever watched your videos.
Basically, if you don't get the first page quick enough, he'll just start following you. And if you stand still long enough, he'll just come up to you and
turn you. I thought if you grab the pages, he showed up and you had to run.
He gets more aggressive the more pages you get.
He's not actually there before you've got the first page unless you take forever and then he'll show up and just kill you.
But it's one of those things where it's just you turn a corner and there he is.
Yeah, we're in the building. I was going to say, because in this live action thing, this isn't in the rage quit that came out, but there's a bit where I just turn around a corner and he's just stood in the building that we're in, and I was wondering why on the rage quit you can only hear Michael scream, and it's because on the live video I fling back in my chair and I'm sliding down my chair.
It looks like they're driving in a car that got hit by another car. They both just shake off to the side. They disappear off the camera view.
Disappear off camera. It's pretty funny.
Plus you have to have headphones on when you play because there's some pretty intense music.
Yeah, that's what makes it for the reactions and why it's so much more legit. We have the headphones really turned up, so if you're watching the video, the sound effects don't play as much as if you watch it with headphones on. We have it cranked up. And Gavin, I saw even just looking through the footage of the live version, Gavin constantly taking off his headphones. He's like, it's loud in my ears, Michael. It's scary.
That's really funny.
But before Lindsay came in and gave us her cure for deafness,
that was incredible.
Deafsona. Which is just a scream all the time. There was a great... Do you remember those...
She's been thinking about that for a while.
Clearly.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know? Because that's what deaf people need is sonar. But when they can see perfectly. But do you remember Deep Thoughts by Jack
Handy?
They were on Saturday Night Live. Thing. There was a great one he had, which was, if trees could scream, would people be so cavalier about cutting them down? Maybe, if they screamed all the time for no good reason. It's that's what I imagine, is deaf people walking around screaming all the time. But did you read about the soundless room which is the world's quietest room by design.
Oh, they've designed it. No. Does it have like a load of like angled bits of foam on the inside?
It's it's got sound absorption on the floor, on the ceiling, everywhere, and it's like encased in concrete. I can read you the specs here.
I can't imagine hearing nothing. Because I feel like when I'm in a silent room, my brain lifts like the bottom level of noise, so I just hear stuff that's really quiet.
The longest that anyone has been able to stay in this room is 45 minutes.
What, just because it's...
Really?
Because they can't stand it.
Wow.
And they have to leave of how quiet it is.
They probably just can hear their own heart and hear their own breathing.
And their digestive tract. That's what it is. Yeah,
they can hear their digestive tract?
Yeah, they hear
that's
their body.
Crazy.
Because all that stuff is below the noise floor of the world, and so you're not used to hearing your
body.
Have
you ever been in bed at night and it's really quiet and you turn over and you hear all the stuff in your stomach just slosh over? It's like...
Yeah.
And then you realize that you've just got, like, loads of sacks of liquid inside
We're all just, like, big
Sacks of liquid.
There was a thread on Reddit. I didn't follow up to find out whether or not it was true, but someone said that, you know, going off of your soundless room, someone said that if you lay in a dark room and cover your eyes with, like, half of ping pong balls...
I'll look it
up. Turn on a radio with, like, just static for white noise in the background, that within just a couple minutes you start hallucinating...
What the fuck?
Yeah. It's like sensory deprivation. Since you can't see anything, since it's dark and you have these, you know, things over your eyes, and then there's just that white noise in the background, that your mind starts inventing things to keep itself occupied. I think the most common thing it said was that people start imagining rainbows.
What the fuck? Maybe there's rainbows like embedded into the static.
Into the static. Yeah. It's like secret codes.
Did you ever see that thing they did in Portal where if you took that radio in one of the Ratman's dens, it would play like, it would sound like a modem or a fax machine, just going like, cheep, 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 cheep. And if you played it into a certain audio piece of software, it would print a picture of the companion cube sitting on the moon. Did you ever see that?
Oh, I think, yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
It's cool. That was a really very cool hidden message. They just like, anyone would just think it was just random noise.
Man,
that's really weird.
Yeah. It's actually a really cool picture.
You can actually see it low, because as the sound's going in, this piece of software is decoding these sounds. It's like a really fuzzy image. It looks like a picture that was actually taken on the moon. It's like... And then you see the moon looking at the Earth with a companion cube.
Here's what they recommend you do for this experiment. You're going to need three things. Ping pong ball, a radio with headphones, and a red light.
The red light, that's right.
Turn the radio station to a station with just white noise and put on your headphones. Step two, cut the ping pong ball in half and tape each half over your eyes. Turn the red light on so it's facing your eyes. Sit there for at least 30 minutes and you'll start to hallucinate.
That's fucking crazy.
I really don't want to do that.
I'm going to do it.
That sounds crazy. You're going to like stab yourself.
I always think when I see stuff like this that, I'll be fine. Like the Chinese water torture, which is basically just when you lie down and water just drips on your forehead over and over again. And you think, what is so bad about that? But you see people react to it on TV and stuff and how emotional it makes them. And they like end up like freaking out and they want to get out and they're crying. I feel like that wouldn't happen to me.
Okay, let's torture Gavin.
I know it would. Like, I feel confident that I'd be okay with it, but I wouldn't want to do it anyway.
But you know you can't trust yourself because you're an idiot.
It doesn't really, like, there's something psychological about it, too. Like,
apparently it feels like someone's just drilling very slowly into your head.
Yeah, that they're putting it
just on the same exact point over and over again. It's random as well. So,
how long does it take?
Not that long.
Let's film it and find out.
And why is it called Chinese water torture?
Because they did it in China.
Did they?
I think so. Well, it's like a Chinese burn, isn't it? Did they do that in China?
A Chinese burn?
No, we call it Indian burn.
We call it Indian burn. Oh,
did
you? Yeah, when you like twist
them. I remember
arm.
Gus freaked out once. I called it the Mexican wave because apparently you just call it the wave.
The wave. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck are you talking
Wait,
about?
Wait, what? Oh, in the crowd.
In the stadium.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the Mexican wave.
Oh.
<That's> Why the fuck do you call it that?
Everyone does.
No, they don't. I've never heard that till you said it that one time.
Did Gavin ever talk about the whole lemonade thing on the podcast?
No.
We got into like a screaming match about it during one of our swims.
I guess I was confused as to what lemonade was. I always thought 7-Up was lemonade.
What? See, all of a sudden he's being perfectly understandable about this and reasonable.
He okay, go ahead. What did he tell you?
Well, I was like, Lindsay, he's mentioned something about lemonade, and I can't remember what he said. But he's like, it's 7-Up. And she's like, no, it's not. She's like, that explains it, because she was in England once with her family. I'm not sure where she was. But she asked for lemonade, and they kept giving her 7-Up. And she's like, I want lemonade. And they're like, you have it right there. And like Gavin's like, it's fizzy. Lemonade's fizzy.
So if I was in a shop in England, and I bought some Arwhites lemonade, I would put – it's just like clear, fizzy drink.
It's like cider.
No. It's like completely see-through.
So it's like 7-Up.
It's 7-Up. I never drink this stuff.
I've had it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And that's lemonade.
It's called lemonade.
It's fizzy.
Mm-hmm. It's clear and it's fizzy. It looks.
So what's lemonade here? What is lemonade?
It's like lemon and sugar.
It's lemon juice, water, and sugar.
So it's not fizzy?
No.
No. That sounds way better.
Yeah, good. It is way better.
I just hate fizzy drinks. I'm into Dr. Pepper. That's a fizzy
drink. Yeah, until you spilled a shit ton of it over there.
Jeff's trying to jam a pen up my ass.
Why? At the workplace?
At the workplace? Also, just so you know, he did also spill that. Did you see he spilled that at his desk?
Yeah.
When he wiped it up with a paper towel, I think he may have put those on your desk.
Listen. Can I say something? I got to interrupt you here for a second. If you're going to burp or yawn or whatever, just do it. The voice that everybody makes when they're trying not to, or like, oh, like, that's the talk like he was just doing. We all do the same thing. Just don't do it.
I wasn't burping. I was just talking.
Why are you talking like
this? I was just talking.
He even did like the chin down kind of thing with it too.
I didn't notice.
I'm not going to burp though.
All right. Well,
you did it for no reason.
Well, listen,
why
I'm
are you
sorry.
Coming at me,
the
Bernie?
Thing is, people always run for a few sentences like that and then just go...
Excuse me?
It's like, they wait, but then still... Like,
maybe they can't get it out yet.
That was more of the, like, so that might be on your desk. That was more of like a, yeah. How I was telling the story.
So my desk...
Descriptive.
My desk is nearest...
Michael, I want to apologize to you for involving me. Right.
I feel you.
Criticism. Okay. I really do.
My desk is nearest to the door in the Achievement Hunter office, which means it's the abuse desk.
Yep.
Stuff gets left on it. Mm-hmm. Bernie came in the other day, put a grape under the keyboard and then smushed it in.
At the workplace? Yeah. to use a phrase?
Didn't find it for a while. It was sticky as hell. Then I gave Jeff a load of mints. He flobbed them all over my desk. And
explain what flobbed is, please.
He spat them out of his mouth.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Then he spills Dr. Pepper and wipes it, smears it all over my desk.
The thing about the Bernie with the grape under the keyboard thing was he did it. I was sitting there. I didn't even see him do it. Like, people come in and out of the office like a million times. So it's just like I see people coming and going, but unless they like talk to me, generally I won't turn. So Gavin comes in. He's like, was Bernie just in here? I'm like, I don't know. I don't think so. He's like, what did he do? I'm like, he didn't do anything. You're like, no, he did something. What did he do to
it's
my desk?
It's because I saw him out in the hall. And he said, do you hate me yet? I was like, what did you do?
And I was like, he didn't do anything. Gavin's like, So he sits down. And then, like, I don't know how long it was. 15, 20 seconds later, he lifts up his keyboard. He's like, oh, he's done it. And there's a fucking grape under his keyboard. And I didn't even notice it.
If you'd left it there long enough, you'd have wine.
It's true.
He was doing you a favor.
I was making raisins.
Making raisins?
Flat raisins.
You can't make a raisin if it's squished. They don't squish them before they make raisins,
do you? How do you dehydrate a grape?
How do you dehydrate anything?
That's what I'm asking.
Get drunk.
How do you do it?
Leave it in the sun?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what are those, like, dehydrating machines that you can do?
I think they accelerate the process.
But how do they do that?
Take the water out?
It's a good question. Is like, it like
they spin them around?
They probably heat it up or like blow hot air on it?
I don't know.
How does a dehydrator work? While I'm looking that up.
Gavin asked if they spin them around until they're empty.
Like a centrifuge?
Yeah, they separate all the water out.
Did you
ever have
work?
A salad spinner?
Yeah, I think I did.
Stupidest thing ever.
What's a salad spinner?
Salad spinner was my favorite toy as a child. I used to put Legos in it.
Like when you make a salad, you wash all the vegetables and shit, right? But it's wet. You want to get the water off of it?
Yeah.
You put it in a salad spinner and you like turn a handle and through like centrifugal force, all of the water comes out of the sides.
Okay. And it just makes a mess everywhere?
Yeah, you just do it
in the sink.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way it dries all the water off.
This is the most unimpressive, unexciting answer of all time.
All right.
A dehydrator works by exposing food to low temperatures of heat for a long period of time. That's it.
It makes it hot.
So you could do it in your oven. Just like turn it on to like 200 degrees.
Or like a barbecue grill or something.
Yeah.
Just basically just kind of cook things. Kind of cook things a little bit. That's dehydrator for you. I guess that's how they make raisins.
That's very unimpressive.
So we, speaking of high temperatures or low high temperatures, you know, I brought out that thermometer I have the other day.
Low high temperatures.
And
that was interesting.
The one that you can kind of shoot, like it shoots a laser and you can target it at different things. Chris took it from me and had it all fucking day measuring temperatures of everything he could.
He bugged the shit out of me. He took the temperature of my computer. He took the temperature of my coffee. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
We were doing everyone the handle
at the annex to open the door. In the afternoon, when the sun's like over here, it's like the handle's 140 degrees to open that door.
Really?
Yeah.
Open
Celsius.
It quick. See, that's what I was saying the other day on the podcast, was that I wish everything had the sensitivity of my hands. Because my hands are equally as sensitive and as insensitive as I want them to be. Like, I can grab something super hot and it's okay. You know?
If you're expecting it.
Well, you have that delay, don't you? You have the, like, 2 seconds of... freedom. Like, if you hold a really hot thing for 2 seconds, it's going to really burn you.
Right.
But you have that 2 seconds to like, feel the heat and then put it down.
But, like, the fine texture of my hands, I can feel the, like, braille. You can feel braille with your hand, little bumps, and discern what they are. But then, likewise, you can take that same hand and grab something hot with it. But if you, like, took something a little bit hot and put it on, like, the back of your neck or on your back or the back of your knee, you'd, like, freak out because it's
too
hot.
Like, you can't adapt. Your other skin doesn't adapt as well.
That's why the worst thing is when you test the shower with your hand, you're like, perfect. You get in, you're like, oh, my God! And you're, like, on fire. Your fucking flesh is melting off.
I feel like my knob is not as sensitive either.
Go ahead. Please tell us. Why do you feel that way?
How did you test it?
Like, water. Like, just in the shower. Like, water that feels hot on my back doesn't feel as hot on my knob.
Okay.
That's because it's wearing a sweater.
Specifically, your Johnson. Specifically, that doesn't feel as sensitive.
My John Thomas.
It's John Thomas.
Is your knob now the whole? Is just one part of the knob? The whole knob.
The complete unit
is just
the whole thing
desensitized.
Yeah, now I just feel like it's not.
Does that worry you? Is that another thing that happened when you turned 23?
Dude, he's getting
you're always better to test the temperature of water with your elbow, aren't you? Because your hand doesn't detect properly. Elbow. I don't know. You dunk your elbow in. When you have a baby to put in the bath, you want to test it with your elbow. If it's hot on your elbow, it's hot to the baby. If it's hot on your hand, it might, you know, if it's cool on your hand, it might still be hot for a baby.
Test with your elbow.
Gavin's baby tips, everybody.
I have no idea.
I know you have a baby. You're supposed to test like the formula on the inside of your arm as opposed to on your hand.
Speaking of babies,
go ahead.
Babies.
So school started again this week, right?
Uh-huh.
My Facebook feed is fucking filled with kids I don't give a shit about on their first day of school.
Delia, take them off.
There are so many. I found something that helps me with this. There's so many fucking pictures in my Facebook feed of little kids holding signs saying my fucking first day of first grade.
That says my fucking first day. That's a loudmouth. My first fucking day,
I
asshole.
I don't give a shit.
So goddamn excited.
There's this plugin for Chrome, for Google Chrome, called unbaby.me. And you can install it into Chrome, and anytime you browse Facebook, it looks for certain keywords, and if that keyword's hit, like there's going to be a baby picture, it removes it and puts in an alternate photo from Instagram that you want. So like you can choose, like, I want photos of Kate Upton to show up instead of babies.
So these people say, she's so cute.
No, it doesn't even say that. It just says baby removed, and then there's a picture of Kate Upton.
Baby removed!
It's awesome.
I love this. I love this generation of time that we're in.
Do you think that would work for like prom photos?
You can set whatever you want. Yeah, so you can just choose whatever keywords it is. By default, it removes babies.
Duck face removed.
By default, it removes babies and adds pictures of cats. But you can customize whatever you want.
That's so much better. It's like,
are you looking it up?
Do you think there's someone furious about all the baby shit? Like, not actual poop, but the thing that you just said, like the goddamn babies. And like, finally, now it's all cats. So you think there's a person out there who's like, thank God. It's like every time they see 40,000 pictures of fucking cats.
Yes.
That's be the happiest cat lady ever who invented that.
Right, I've seen the exact same thing.
I'm pretty happy anytime I see my Facebook baby removed. I'm like, yeah.
Another one's wiped off the face of the internet.
I just don't like the school started because all the fucking traffic came back.
Yeah.
That's what drives me insane, man. Well, it's like, you know, it's the people all now are on the same schedule, essentially. Because people who work, they're like, we'll show up at 9 during the summer. You know, now it's like, well, the kids all get dropped off at 7:30. So everyone's on the roads at 8 and clogging things up. And also, Austin, where we record the podcast, is a university town. We have one of the biggest universities in the U.S. here, mm-hmm. University of Texas. And
it's literally like a town.
It's like 52,000 people.
They have their own, like, garbage trucks with the University of Texas.
They have their own police department. Yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Do they have the same power as the real police?
Yes, but I had to learn that. Because you kind of get the like security guards, but they're
I would
not.
Be mad if I ended up in jail and I was arrested by a university cop.
Yeah.
That'd be bad.
Well, I had one that pointed out that my inspection sticker was inspired.
Inspired.
It was expired. And he said, hey, your inspection's expired. And I go, oh, yeah, I keep meaning to, you know, get my car inspected. And he goes, well, tell you what, I won't write you a ticket for it now. He was like in the little booth that you have to pull up to get on the campus. He's like in this little traffic booth, you know. And I was, he was just supposed to wave me through, and he pointed out that it was expired. He goes, well, I won't write you a ticket for it this time. And I go, ha, yeah, ticket. And I laughed at the guy, and he goes, I'm going to write you a ticket. And he wrote me a goddamn ticket.
Did he really?
I laughed at him. Yeah.
Oh, that's what you get.
That's funny.
Kids can't do that, though, surely.
Yeah, he can.
Sure he can.
So it's at his discretion.
Do they have their own jail? At UT,
sure, like
there's a jail on campus.
You know, some football stadiums have jails.
They hold drunk people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're drunk tanks.
I guarantee UT's holds drunk people, too. It's probably what they have in there most of the time.
Interesting.
So you laughed at a cop, and it totally changed.
You cackled in his face.
I know. So idiot.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
That worked out well for
have
me.
Have fun in your booth, moron.
What can you do? Are you allowed to swear at a policeman?
Sure. That's free speech.
That's free speech, yeah.
I don't think you could do that in England.
You can't threaten a cop, but you could swear at one for sure.
So if you said,
but
But you have to be careful because you can very easily cross the line into assault, verbal assault.
Well, isn't that what assault is? It's verbal.
Assault's verbal, battery's physical.
Yeah.
But yeah, people always say
I've been assaulted.
Because they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like if some cop gave you a ticket and you said, thanks a lot, jackass, for the ticket, then he probably can't do anything. He or she could not do anything to you, but...
They could find an excuse to give you another ticket.
There you go.
But the thing
like, okay, let's find something else here.
The thing that, too, is like they can't do anything like in the final court of law, like if you went to court for it, but like you're not going to be like, you can't do that. Like the cop will do whatever the fuck he wants. Like if the guy's a dick. If he wants to be a dick and write you a ticket, he'll write you a ticket. It's like, do you want to go to court?
He'll give you a ticket?
Yeah, he'll give you a ticket. Do you want to spend your time and money, like taking off of work, going to court? It's like, I'm going to pay the $30 and the guy's a prick.
Did you ever see that? Did you ever see that video?
I love cops.
There was this high-speed chase, and the guy driving the car, I think it was a racial attack by a load of policemen. It was really bad. So it's a black guy driving a car, and all these cops are chasing him. He rolls his car and, like, flips out the window. Like, you see him just land face down on the ground. And then, like, seven cops rush him and just start he's unconscious. Just whacking the hell out of him. I bet he woke up thinking, wow, that's a hell of a wreck I was in.
Yeah,
but he was probably absolutely fine. Then he just got his, like, all his bones broken by all these cops.
It's like a video from a helicopter, right?
No, it's a video from one of the police cars that stops.
I've seen one like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy.
A Russian guy was driving by and he had a dash cam.
Luckily.
Russian truck. I swear half the videos I see on the internet now are from Russian dash cams. What's the point at which you decide I'm going to buy a dash cam?
When people probably commit like fraud against you or make fake allegations, you're like, all right, fuck it. I need to record everything in my life to disprove other people.
And apparently that happens all the time in Russia, and everyone has a damn dash cam. Because everything that happens in...
It's great for the dash cam industry.
It really is. LiveLeak.com. They probably love it more than anybody else.
Or the dash cam manufacturers, too.
So we were talking earlier about the Chinese water torture, and I asked how... Chinese water torture got the name Chinese. Why was it associated with China?
And I bet it's nothing to do with China, right?
I couldn't see anything online about it, but it reminded me of there was a – you know, when World War One ended, a big part of it was the end of the conflict and, you know, defeating the
– The Great War.
What's that? The Hun? Yeah. But another part of it too is that one of the things that ended World War One was the fact it was an enormous flu pandemic at the exact same time. Like when you see a lot of the parades – like photos from the parades of the victory and all that, you see a lot of people wearing surgical masks because there was the biggest flu pandemic in modern history. Where
right.
How many people died from that?
It was like 6 million,
like worldwide.
I want to say it was that high.
Anyway, I look at the numbers, but one of the crazy things about it was called the Spanish flu.
Right.
Do you know why it's called the Spanish flu?
No idea.
Okay, you would think it's because it came from Spain, right? It didn't. It didn't come from Spain. It had nothing to do with Spain. The reason it's called the Spanish flu is because when the flu started to take off, all the global news organizations decided to not print information about the flu. The one country that was printing information to tell people what to do about it was Spain. And so all the information about the flu was coming out of Spain, and therefore it was called the Spanish flu.
Did that eventually lead to Spanish fly?
I don't know. But in a weird, it's like the people who are doing the right thing...
Get the blame.
They get like a label for now the flu is named after them.
It's like swine flu. It had nothing to do with pigs.
1918, spreading even to the Arctic and remote Pacific islands, between 50 and 130 million people died.
Wow, that's
Holy
even
shit.
Higher than
that's
I expected.
6 million, Gus.
Yeah, making it one of the deadliest natural disasters in human history.
Were people just pussies back then, or was it like really tough?
Dude, no, we're due for a flu pandemic.
We're due for
fuck it.
Brain's waiting.
I'll fight the flu.
They come around every now and then, man.
How does the flu kill you?
Probably through
dehydration,
like, drowning through pneumonia or dehydration. Sure,
drink water, dude. Take
fuck
that. Flu.
I'll drink the shit out of that water.
Yeah. Can you just die from fever? Is that something you just
I think you can if it gets high enough.
Your organs just start shutting down.
Yeah.
We got AC now, okay? 1918 didn't have that.
No, you get fucked up. I got sick a few years ago, and my fever got up to 106.
Nah.
And I remember thinking, oh, shit. Like, what's the point at which I need to go to the hospital?
Yeah, probably 106.
Can you just get in icy water and cool down?
It might help temporarily, yeah.
Doesn't.
But yeah, 106, I was like... Probably should be getting in the car, going to the hospital.
Wow.
That's really, really high.
Yeah, and then I was telling my wife, like, I might need to go to the hospital. She's like, no, you don't. I was like, wow. It's 106. It's a pretty high fever.
How many months had she had the insurance policy at that point?
I love that people's I should go to the hospital threshold varies so much.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people I know would be like, straight there. At the first sign of any illness. And I would be the exact opposite, where I'd be waiting until I was like...
You had a fucking stroke and you still haven't gone.
It's true. I should do something about that at some point.
I mean, what can they do? Should they go do an MRI on your head?
Probably
and figure out
check his brain.
Maybe.
They'll be like, there's an empty cavity in the head where the brain typically goes.
Gavin's actually been clinically dead for years.
The part that's gray is now
black.
You know how
the body constantly regenerates cells?
Not my body, but go ahead.
Are there cells in your body that... Because I assume every cell dies and it's replaced with a new cell, like all the time. So you're probably not physically the same person that you were when you were born. You probably regenerated several times over, maybe at different paces. Maybe the bone regenerates slower and stuff.
Right.
But what is the oldest piece of your body? Is there a piece of your body that you were born with?
Nerve cells.
Your eyeball.
Nerve cells do not regenerate.
Nerve cells.
You can't regrow nerve cells.
But surely they have to grow because you probably have longer ones when you're an adult versus when you're a baby.
Like, I think your eyes are maximum of 4 years old. Like, the oldest piece of your eye wasn't there 4 years ago.
Really?
I think so.
Hmm.
Obviously, it all generates in the exact same formation, but...
Hmm.
I've never thought about this
before.
But
I'm pretty sure...
You're blowing my mind.
You're blowing my mind, right?
Gus, you're like... Technically, you could be like 5 years old at the oldest.
Yeah.
Gus is like, I'm 5 years
old. I think he's been in 2 decades.
I think even bone isn't the same bone you were born with. Like, even scar tissue, like a scarred, severed piece of bone, that will regenerate still. I'm pretty sure you're not as old as your body.
Gavin, I like your point, but I think we're getting dangerously close to you talking about your penis here. I just feel it coming. I just feel it coming.
That's what she said. Hey.
Gus, you don't need to make the A jokes. let those lie.
Hey, I'm going to do it.
So wait a second. So you're saying that the oldest thing in your eye, the oldest cell left is 4 years old.
No, I'm just saying that's in your eye. That's something I've read. I can't remember.
Well,
at all.
I'll look it up while Gus is reading the copy. But did you read there was a huge experiment where they just started resetting blood cells? They could take a blood cell, a mature adult cell, and basically reset it. Because, like, you know, as you have these iterations of cells remaking themselves, that's what aging is.
Yeah.
Is it just can't do it as well. And so
you get wrinkly.
You get wrinkly and shitty after a while.
You get haggard.
It's like taping over VHS tape over and over again.
So they reset a red blood cell?
To stem cell level. Like, they took an adult one and set it back. So if you could turn back the clock and all this, what if you could slowly, like, unage over the course of however long it takes your body to regenerate new cells?
Yeah.
Like, you want to put some parts would be shitty. Like, some parts of your body would be bad because they don't regenerate
as
fast.
But don't your cells divide sometimes? Would they be, like, merging back together?
Do you really
reverse
not know?
Mitosis?
Do you really not know if cells divide?
Cells divide?
No, go on.
What are you talking about? Do they not teach any level of science in the UK?
Mitosis, does that happen? Where does that happen?
Where does it happen?
Does it happen in humans?
Sometimes.
Bernie's crying again.
I'm trying not to look at you. I'm trying to, like, hold my shit together.
Guys are just staring at the table.
But no, if you're talking about de-aging a cell, wouldn't you have to merge it back with its other half or something? No? Everyone calm down.
So,
see if you can suck those tears back into your eyes, Bernie.
Does this happen in humans? So, does this happen in humans?
Okay, would you read the copy? The short answer is yes, cells divide.
Yes.
And yes, they do it.
You essentially started from two half cells to make what you are now.
Right.
That divided over and over and over again. You've never seen, like, it's in all the fucking documentaries about sex.
It's in everything about everything.
Yeah. It's always you see, like, the one cell that becomes two, then four, and it's like a giant, massive cell. It was in the fucking movie Species. Remember? They fucking inject the thing and then.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it back
if they write an article about science, that's the picture. It's cell dividing. That's it.
Well, I knew it was in. Like bacteria.
It was in animals and stuff.
Or enzymes or something.
But not humans.
I thought it might be plants.
Wait, do we have those?
It's in animals, but not humans.
Is it in plants?
What's that?
What?
Does it happen in plants?
I don't know nearly as much about plants. I assume, yes, that cell division also happens in plants, though.
What do you think? Like every organism is one gigantic cell?
I imagine, like, a leaf starts out as a microscopic version of itself and
it gets bigger.
That's why you water plants. They get bigger. It's like the fucking dinosaurs you buy that are made out of foam and put them in water.
They just swell up.
Oh, man.
So where's just that coming tiny. From? Like, they say you can't destroy... Just read that.
No, go on. We can't destroy what?
You can't destroy anything, right? You can only change the way it is. Like, matter can't be destroyed, you just change its form.
It's a pretty fundamental level. You're talking about the atomic level, yeah. You can't get rid of stuff. You just change it. Everything is matter or energy, and you can when you have one side of the equation, the other side of the equation has to balance out.
There's nothing lost there's in the no process.
Way, there's no way. There will always be as much stuff in the universe as there is right now.
That's that correct.
Saying? Unless it all goes down a black hole.
Yeah, but what about black holes?
No, what do you mean? What about it?
Where does it go when it goes in a black hole?
Does it just compresses it. It just condenses it. Yeah, it's a denser matter.
But what about a supermassive black hole?
What does that mean? God, what does that shut mean? Up. What does that mean?
Supermassive black hole. It's what a galaxy rotates around.
Okay, so if something falls in there, it just becomes...
It's still a black hole. It's just bigger.
But... Okay.
It's like...
There's no exception to this. This is one of the fundamental rules of the universe. The look on Gavin's face is priceless.
He's trying to come up with an exception.
He was staring at the ceiling, his head cocked like a dog that, you know, when you tell him something, he's just like, what? I don't speak human. And his mouth was hanging open.
I think you're confusing the term lost or destroyed with unable to retrieve. That's not the same thing.
Okay. But has there always been the same amount of stuff? Like, what's the smallest thing we know of? An atom? Or like a...
Yeah, subatomic particles. Yeah.
Has there always been that many?
Has there always been a what?
The quims.
Yes, quims have always existed.
What's the tiny thing?
Quark!
That's the next I need to recategorize this podcast into the science or educational section.
A quim is a vagina.
Okay, we got to get off the science. How do we get off science every week with Gavin?
Here, I'll distract us from science.
Things.
This episode of the Rooster Teeth Podcast is also brought to you by Hover.com. Hover provides simple, clean domain and email management tools. All domain names come with Whois Privacy. That way your personal information isn't publicly available. Unlimited domain forwarding and advanced DNS management. Hover only suggests services or products if it will be helpful to your domain or email experience. So they don't do hosting, but they can refer you to other places. They offer 25 TLDs, or top-level domains, sorry, including popular ones like .com, .net, .co, .ca, .org. They have a no-hold policy for customer service calls. If you call them between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m., the phone's picked up within 6 rings. You do not get put on hold. So you can visit Hover today at hover.com/roosterteeth. If you need to get a domain, use offer code roosterteeth and get 10% off. That's hover.com/roosterteeth. And we thank Hover for their support. I actually transferred some of my domains to Hover over the weekend.
I like that
to
you
test them out.
You use all these things that sponsor us. It's awesome.
Well, I want to know about them. Like, yeah. I want to be able to talk about them.
You don't want to blindly promote stuff.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that it's quality
stuff.
Is it
possible to buy... You know how some... Like country specific websites like Italy will end in .it. Mm-hmm. Can you buy that if you're not in Italy?
Sometimes, yeah. It depends on whether or not, on the policies that the country has. Yep. Yeah. In fact, I can look here on the list. I'm looking on hover.com. You can buy .it, .asia, .es, .us, .de.
There was one that had a particularly lucrative one in general, and I forget what it was.
It was like .to or .tv, like one of those islands
TV,
in the Pacific.
You got it. .tv.
Tuvalu is the island chain, I believe.
Just by its abbreviation, just had a meaning. So it's like those domains were valuable. They opened. I remember it was in the 90s, and they opened it up to everybody to register them.
Yeah, I think that country, Tuvalu or whatever it is, they sold the rights to the domain to an investment group in the U.S. I think they sold it for several million dollars. And then that group just turned around and started selling domains based on that.
Gavin, I'm sorry to tell you that quim.com is taken. So.
Is that with one M or two M's?
Oh, it's with one M. according to Hover.com.
But yeah, I just transferred my stuff there. It was really super easy. I think my domain was the one I did as a test was transferred like in less than 2 hours from that old registrar we used to use.
Did you transfer Rooster Teeth domains?
No, one of my personal ones.
Okay, good. Because I don't like – I mean, I'm sure the service is great, but I don't want people knowing where our domains are registered.
Exactly. That's why I'm not – it was just a personal one. And it was only $10 to transfer it, and that was for a year service.
No, $10. Mm-hmm. $10 to transfer it, and then for a year.
And then it renews for a year. Normal price is $15 a year for registration, and it automatically gives you Whois Privacy.
You know, this is kind of an old school internet thing too, because Gus and I have been doing this for a while. Gavin and Michael, you guys not quite as long. Do you guys have any registered domain names?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
TheSlowMoGuys.com.
TheSlowMoGuys.com. And then what do you do with that site?
It just redirects to YouTube.
Directly to YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do you own any domains, Michael?
I don't. How many do you think you own?
I think I own like 22, I want
to
say.
I probably own 15 to 20.
Jesus.
Yeah, domain names.
I'm going to fucking date myself here. When I started buying them, back then, the only place you could buy them from was Network Solutions, and it was $70 a year to get a fucking domain.
Yep. We know a guy.
That's cheap as hell now.
Who bought a website. He bought a domain. He bought it for $3,000 and he sold it, the domain name, he sold it for $130,000.
Holy shit.
Jeez. Yep. Well, I think it's okay to say what the domain name is.
Did he buy it?
I don't know. I don't know if it's still in the same hands or
right.
What's going on with that.
It's a guy we know. We play poker with him. He did this just one day. He bought a website.
Did he buy it to do anything with it or nope. Thought it'd be worth money one day?
He just recognized the domain name was worth a lot of money.
Didn't you guys once buy a Final Fantasy related one that you sold?
Yep. Sold for a couple G's.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was it?
It was FFXI.com.
So you just thought, well, that'll be a game one day.
It was like Final Fantasy 11.com?
It was when Final Fantasy 8 came out. I was like, oh, I wonder if the other ones are bought. And like 9, Square owns it. 10, Square owns it. Oh, no one owns 11. Buy it.
That's fucking funny. You
should have kept it longer.
He bought it a long time ago.
I bought it like right after 8 came out.
What you really want to do is buy a domain that Apple will need in the future.
No, because then they'll just fucking sue you and take it from you.
You know, it's really crazy when you do forward-thinking stuff like that. There's something I wish I had done because I travel a lot. There was a point in time when you could join the Admirals Club on American Airlines and you could pay $5,000 for your lifetime.
Oh, yeah. That would be definitely worth it.
And it was especially if you're younger, you know what I mean? Like 23, it's, you know.
There was a story on Reddit.
Already 23.
Again, on my Reddit for material. A few weeks ago, I guess back in the early 80s, American Airlines sold something they called the Air Pass.
Apparently they still sell them to this day. They're just ridiculously expensive.
Right, and you could buy it and then you could fly first class with a companion for free for the rest of your life.
What?
You could just show up at the airport and be like, I've got the air pass, I'm getting on the plane, and just get on the plane.
Well, how do you get the air pass?
Like, you would have to buy it. Back then, in the early 80s, I think it was like $1 million.
I want
to
say it was $250,000. It was that low. Yeah, I'll look up a story.
They were in financial trouble. They needed to raise some money quickly.
So that lasts forever? You can't have something that lasts a lifetime.
No,
you can.
What if the company changes hands and stuff?
They're regretting it. In fact, that's what the article was about, is they started denying services to some people, because like, there was one guy who would fly to Europe like multiple times a week from the U.S.
I would. I'd be all over the gap.
One of the guys in the article, he was going to London for the 8th time this month.
Holy shit.
He was probably just commuting.
One of the other guys like lived in Chicago, and like he said he would like read about a museum or something in Paris. He'd be like, all right, I'm going to go pick up my friend in San Francisco. We're going to fly to Europe.
Holy fuck.
That'd be the best thing ever.
First class.
That would be pretty cool.
Going to read start part of an article here from Time.com. In the early 1980s, American Airlines started selling the Air Pass, which granted the holder unlimited first-class travel with the carrier for life. At first, the pass cost $250,000, which sounds like a lot of money, but it's a bargain considering the pass holders have been known to take $125,000 worth of flights in less than 1 month's time.
Whoa! Holy
shit. They've made that money back in 2 months.
Well, they didn't really make it back. Well, they've got their money's worth.
That is crazy.
You could, for business purposes, you can make it back.
Yeah.
Pass prices have raised over time to $600K in 1990 and up over $1 million by 1993. The pass was discontinued soon thereafter, but then made a brief reappearance in 2004. That's what I thought it was. It's not for sale anymore. When it was available via the Neiman Marcus catalog for $3 million.
Wow.
Not one person bought it.
So
somebody should have.
Someone who's alive now still using it. Could have spent $250,000 on it back in the 80s.
Yeah.
That's cool. I want to know a guy. I want to know that. Who are these people? Where are they?
They're in the air right now, probably. They're
hanging out.
One of the complaints I think that the airline had was, since they had this free ticket, essentially, that they would make reservations constantly and then just not get on them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Imagine that.
That's awesome.
Just booking up 2 first class and be like, nah.
I'll take the next one.
I'll go after lunch.
This is a really good sandwich.
Like, you're eating lunch like, I wonder if I can get a sandwich in San Francisco. Just drive to the airport and like, all right, let's go.
You could just, you could show up in the morning. It's like, what am I doing Saturday? And then you drive to the airport, but like, where do I want to go?
Or just like, what's the next plane leaving? Yeah. That one.
Yeah, I want to, where can I go where I don't have to wait at all?
I can't think of anything more useful than that. I would be everywhere. Constantly.
Yeah, there was a they said, this is kind of strange, a few years ago the airline went so far as to start investigating customers who take the most advantage of their passes for fraud, eager for any reason to cancel their passes and stop the flight free-for-all. So they were still selling it, I guess, but they were investigating their high-usage customers for fraud.
Hmm. Well, how would you
make sure that someone else wasn't traveling on it?
Well, you hadn't sold it.
There was one guy who, within the bounds of, I guess, the terms of agreement, he was shuttling a well-to-do couple back and forth to London. Like, he would take one of them at a time, and that's as his companion. And he did that for years, and they paid him to do it.
That's crazy.
He just shuttled them back and forth.
I guess considerably cheaper.
I guess so.
I think. But then you don't have to fly with your wife.
Yeah, so that's perfect. True too.
Pay some other dude to do it.
He paid the guy twice as much as the ticket.
He's like, hell yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine it being the end of the day? You could be like, I could drive home and go to bed, or I could go on a plane and sleep comfortably.
I thought you were going to say, or I could fly home.
But you could just, instead of sleeping in your bed, you just sleep on the first class bed, basically, on a plane, yeah. And you wake up somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
I would do that every night. I would not sleep at home. I would sleep exclusively on planes.
You'd also not have crazy. A job.
It'd be awesome. Yeah. You'd wake up in a different country every day.
Yeah, what would you do for work, though? Feel yourself sleeping in slow motion.
The guy that flies around the world every day. Where's my money?
I'm going to try to find out, like, an inflation calculator here, how much $250,000 would be worth today in 1980.
And whether it's worth more than $3 million.
Yeah, it's got to be less than that, though.
No, it can't be. There's no way we've had 10 times inflation in 30 years.
So freaking house prices,
people
you think
probably
that?
Were saving up and buying their own planes when they could have just been buying these tickets.
Oh, yeah. And you fly commercial for first class anyway. You fly first class international. That's
and you
crazy.
Said that if you buy your own jet, you're losing money. It's not money.
Well,
efficient.
You have to pay for fuel on top of the
and
jet costs.
Well, I was talking to Gavin about getting a pilot's license, and we had a discussion about this last week. But there's no point at which personal aviation is ever cheaper than commercial.
No.
It's purely convenience.
But there is a sense of convenience of, like, you don't have to spend an hour in the airport. Like, you don't have to go through security if you have your own plane.
Right.
So are you allowed to take a bomb on your own plane?
Take a bomb?
What?
Probably not. I mean, but they probably don't check to see if you're taking a bomb. How about that? All right. So $250,000. Enter the initial year 1980. Enter the final year 2010. That's how this thing goes.
So over 30 years is what we're looking at.
The cost of $250,000 in 1980 would be $650,000 in 2010.
Oh, wow. Really? Wow. Not a lot at all.
Not bad. I mean, I don't have $650,000 to spend on it, but
let me ask you this.
It's not $1 million
first
bucks.
Class.
If they said that today, here's this pass. It's $650,000. You can buy it today because that's what it was offered for back in 1980, $650,000 essentially. Would you take out a loan to do it? You would take out a loan.
Yes.
That's like
could you take out a mortgage?
Yeah, you'd have
like,
to.
I'll take out a mortgage to pay for this ticket.
That's like $4,000 a month for 30 years, amateurized over that.
$4,000 a month for 30 years.
So like two flights a month.
I would absolutely do that.
You would?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I would.
I would absolutely not.
For a companion pass, though, too, though. Is the companion part of it? I think you had to add on for the companion.
Oh, it was a little extra, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
a couple extra $100,000.
I think it was like $250,000. Like the first price was, I think it was $250,000 for the pass, and then $100,000 if you want to add the companion.
You know, JetBlue does something like this too, and they do it on a regular basis.
Oh, right.
Where you can fly for like $800.
I think Jack did this recently.
Yeah, you can fly anywhere in the world or anywhere that JetBlue flies, which is domestic U.S. You can just get on a plane and go, and it's like $800 for 30 days. You can do that.
Yeah, they do it. I think they did it last summer. I don't think they did it this year though.
Wait. 30 days, you can go anywhere.
Yeah,
all you can fly.
Oh shit.
In the U.S. Cool.
I think Jack did it, and he took like two flights.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's like Jack going to Five Guys and getting ketchup and cheese.
What?
Five Guys burgers. It's like you pay for the burger, right? And they have like 47,000 toppings, and it's like they have everything. It's like the craziest place you can get toppings on your burgers, and Jack goes and gets ketchup and cheese because it's all he gets on his burgers. So it's like buy the unlimited pass and fly. Like he probably flew to Dallas too.
It's so frustrating.
If Jack was a flavor of crisps, he would be ready sorted.
It would. He wouldn't be salted. He would just be chip.
Or just plain.
He'd just be crisp.
Plain flavor.
You know who's even worse, honestly, than Jack about that kind of stuff?
Who?
Carrie.
Is he really?
Carrie will, like, pick the salt off of saltines because it's too much flavor.
Is that a true story or are you just making an exaggeration?
It's just an example that I use, but Carrie will not eat anything. He's like a child. It's like, no,
he
is mustard
like a child.
It. Yeah. It's like mustard. Nope, he won't touch it. He's probably as old as... Is he as old as you, Carrie?
No. He just turned 21.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that is. I got two kids. They've been fucking
21 years of age.
Anything. I make them goddamn mac and cheese. It's like, eat the mac and cheese. Like, nope. I don't like this particular kind of mac and cheese.
I think when I have a kid, I'm not going to be strict about much, but I will force them to eat stuff.
Yes.
I'll be like, I made this. You will eat this.
You're never going to make
anything.
Open
your gob, and I'll just shove it down.
Open your gob.
Gavin.
I actually ordered them pizza because I thought it'd be easy the other day. They were like, oh, we don't, you know, one of the kids didn't like this kind of pizza.
Pull all the toppings off.
It's fucking pizza. No, he didn't like that from Domino's or whatever. Like, he likes to get it from Papa John's. He's like, I just don't like Domino's pizza. I'm like, you're going to fucking eat it. So you just look him in the eye and you're like, you listen to me.
It's my job that you don't fucking starve to death. Eat the goddamn pizza.
I was watching Breaking Bad, an old episode of Breaking Bad over the weekend, and they were making grilled cheese sandwiches. I was like, I haven't had a fucking grilled cheese sandwich since I was a kid. I paused it, went to my kitchen, made myself the best grilled cheese sandwich in the world.
I was like, I know how to make it now.
I can make the shit out of this as an adult.
I think it's something to do with cheese.
I remember this was a lot harder last time I did this.
The smoke alarm didn't go off.
Couldn't quite reach the stove.
I remember always watching Tom and Jerry as a kid, and I always used to have to pause it and go and get cheese. Because I just got the craving. It's like, just like damn good. Sat on that mousetrap, I was like, oh.
Jeez.
I could do it with a bit of cheddar right now.
You know, you're lucky, too. I wouldn't want to say in a publicly broadcast podcast that you were watching Breaking Bad, so you paused it to go cook something. Inspired by watching Breaking Bad.
Man, I'm watching. I restarted from the beginning of the season. I'm towards the end of season 3 now while I'm watching the new season at the same time. I have not seen this week's episode yet. Hopefully I'll see it today.
I wonder. I haven't seen it either, but I downloaded it. I wonder if you could, like, from the bits and pieces that they've said on Breaking Bad, if you could actually get a recipe for making meth.
I don't think so.
I would imagine
they're not. They're never specific about ingredients.
They'll name one or two chemicals, but that's it. Yeah,
Pseudo.
But it's at different times, though, right?
Pseudoephedrine.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I didn't know what that was.
It's so annoying, Gavin. You don't take medicine, but I can tell you that in this country, if you want to get certain kinds of allergy medication
just cough syrup.
Yeah. You got to go to the pharmacy and like they check your ID and you got to register because people will buy it in mass quantities and use it to make meth.
I hadn't bought cold medicine in a long time, and I went a couple months ago to buy some, and like I went to the allergy aisle or the medicine aisle, and there was like a little card you pick up for some medicine with pseudoephedrine in it, and I had to take it to the fucking pharmacist. I was like, can I buy this? Like, oh, we need to see your ID. I was like, what? Like, we need to scan it into the computer. I was like, can't you just sell me one box of this?
Yeah, it's fucking Advil.
I want my nose to be clear. You can hear. I have a stuffy nose right
now. I like the place that they're looking at you, like, yeah? You need this? You're going to cook drugs. Like, now you're like... The guy even said,
you're not going to make meth with this, are you? I was like, are you being serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, with that nose, you could be, like, the biggest supplier ever. Like, you'll go in and go, look, I need, like, 40 boxes of this shit.
I need to get this puppy back to regular size. Just shrink this bad boy down.
But that's really annoying.
Meth making is ruining people who have colds' lives.
Yes.
They can't get enough medicine because now they're being turned away.
That's the worst thing about... I love the seriousness of the statement.
It's terrible.
The worst thing about anything that someone bad does is the inconvenience that it causes for the people who want to do it properly. Yeah. It's like the whole of getting on a plane. It's just taking my shoes off. Ruined. Because of one incident where someone had a shoe bomb. And now someone had a liquid bomb and now you can't have liquids.
What is the worst thing like that, do you think?
I think they just do it for inconvenience.
Right. Well, it's a theater. You know, it's a theater of security. You're in a plane with people. You know, if I want to kill somebody, I just like cross a double yellow line and ram myself into traffic if I want to.
Yeah, but that wouldn't kill as many people.
It wouldn't kill as many people. But, you know, it's also, why are terrorists so goddamn fascinated with air travel? I've never understood that. Why air travel?
Because a plane is a flying bomb.
It's a sign of like economic power and the way business is done.
Yeah.
Traveling, I would assume.
I could see that.
I mean, not to give anybody ideas or anything, but there's a lot of people in tighter areas.
People are taking
that.
Out like notepads now, so be careful.
I know, right?
I'm always nervous about sporting events, honestly.
It's me too. Yeah.
Thanks, Christopher Nolan. Fucking hit Gus right at his heartstrings.
Yeah,
he was like, no!
That could have been me.
I was worried.
Remember when I sang the national anthem?
I could have been ignored for the last half of the movie, too.
Such a lovely voice.
I remember I was here when Obama was being inaugurated, and we were watching him give a speech on TV, a load of people everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was kind of didn't want to watch it. I thought he'd be sniped or something. I thought someone would try and assassinate him during that speech.
You know what's really crazy is that when I was growing up, I wasn't born in the 60s, but I grew up in like the couple decades after the 60s. I grew up in the late 70s. And there was a time period in America where people just got shot, you know, and that was right before I was born. So it was not a big deal.
Well, like big people.
Yeah, like Kennedy got shot. Malcolm X got shot. Martin Luther King got shot. Two Kennedys got shot.
Have you ever watched?
George Wallace got shot. Yeah. John Lennon got shot.
Reagan got shot.
It was just like, if you're president, you're probably going to get shot at.
Yeah. Who was the guy that got shot through the handkerchief?
Shot through the handkerchief.
Like, the...
Did he have a handkerchief?
Yeah.
Or did the...
What are you talking about?
Assassin have a handkerchief.
The guy came up to the person who died with a handkerchief in his hand. And,
okay.
Like, put it out, like, outstretched to shake his hand, but there was a gun under it, and he shot him.
Sounds like a regular shooting to me.
The security guards were like, oh, we just thought you had a handkerchief.
We didn't think the handkerchief was loaded.
I like it's a pretty deadly boogers.
If the guards afterwards couldn't figure out what had happened. But the guy just had a handkerchief.
Have you ever seen...
Dude, he's a magician.
Have you ever seen that the JFK shooting footage, but rescanned in HD and stabilized?
No.
It's weird. There's something wrong with it.
What's wrong with it?
It just doesn't look right.
The fact that it's been rescanned and up converted to HD. I bet there's something wrong with them.
But obviously, the original footage is like crap. It's probably 8mm, and it's all like this.
The Zapruder film.
Yeah, exactly. And
you have no idea.
No, yeah,
that's the guy. Just so you know.
I know.
Okay.
And, so basically, you've got this big image. It's like full HD image, and the actual picture is like a small box within that image, and it's moving all around because it's been stabilized.
Right.
But just the physics of the car when he gets shot. The car takes off, accelerates, but everyone in the car like jolts forward as though the car braked. It just looks wrong. It looks like it's been screwed with in some way. But that's all conspiracy stuff, isn't it? It's just really weird.
I don't think there's a fucking single conspirator out there who thinks there was a speed bump in front of them.
I've never heard this argument before. Gavin's like, we got to check which direction they were driving in.
Clearly, by watching the film, you can see he wasn't shot. They just backed into the bullets. And then reversed the footage.
You fucking weirdo.
What?
Who the fuck cares about that? The physics on the car are weird. Maybe they patched it. I don't know.
It's obviously a CG
it's
car.
It's really interesting to see that because it's famous footage.
Bernie.
Sorry, I went across my legs and yanked
it's
my
just famous footage. Shaky cam footage. It's just interesting to see it modern day stabilized and how it could easily have been messed with and nobody would have noticed because it was so shaky.
Mm.
God,
it's cool. It's interesting. Watch it.
All right, I'll have to check it out. One of the many things that I'll have to watch after this. You okay over there?
Yeah, I rolled over my headphone cord with a office chair wheel, and it's like, forget it.
What the hell is that thing over there?
It's not part of it. That's like a little balance board where it's like you just balance on it.
It reminds me of those toys from the 80s that had like the ball in the middle, and you would have to like put your feet around it, and you jump and bounce. Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, but you stand out and balance.
It's good for your core. That was a Nintendo accessory.
Oh yeah,
for a Nintendo
helps your core.
You could fucking that replaced the D-pad.
That's right.
You could like lean up and you go up, but you still have to fucking plug the controller and hold it on and to the controller because you have to use the A and B button. So you'd stand on that and balance, and that's how you would move your guy.
That sounds like a good thing, actually.
Yeah, it sucked in most games. I'd rather just push right in Mario, not lean right on a fucking balance board.
Well, that's the point. It's supposed to be good for the kids who are sitting on their ass all day.
I don't know. It was good for Nintendo to sell shit.
Yeah. They sold a lot of shit like that. Like, that was just totally pointless.
Still do.
Like, the fucking robot, the power glove. Like,
are you going to make fun of the robot? The guy who went on eBay and bought one of the robots 20 years after it came out?
Because it's kitschy cool, but it wasn't functional at the time.
No. True.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It was kitschy cool at the time.
They only made, like, two games for the fucking robot. The story is, I think, that they wanted to try to sell it as a toy and not a... They didn't want people to think it was a video game system because I think there was, like, a negative connotation about video games. So they made this fucking robot and two games for it.
All right. What are you swearing about? You're so excited about the robot.
Because they didn't do anything with it.
Well, don't let it go. There's lots of peripherals for games that don't do anything
Gus
with it.
Gus is mad this podcast. Gavin, you've struck a chord.
Gus,
no, he's not as mad as he was last week. Last week, it was like... Fuming.
You bought a $250 controller to play one Met game on the Xbox.
It came with the game, technically.
Right.
And it was a sequel.
Was there?
Yes.
I had a friend who had that thing.
It was a Steel Battalion, and then the sequel was Steel Battalion Line of Contact.
Okay.
I would always eject him from his mech.
God, I would fucking strangle you.
He'd be like 50 minutes into a mission, then I'd just flip up this thing and just go, and you just go.
In that game, if your guy dies or you eject, you lose your whole character,
if
right?
If you die, eject. It erases your save game. If you eject, then you're still alive and you can retry the
mission. What's the window you have for ejecting? How many?
It's really short. It depends on the damage on your mech. And there's like a little cover you have to like, you probably know, you have to like open it and then arm the eject.
I'd always like flip up his thing and just go, boop.
Did you make that noise too?
No. I didn't know about booping back then.
No?
No.
There was even a switch for the windshield wipers on the mech. So if your windshield got dirty, you had to use the wipers
to
clean
them. How big was this controller?
It was like this wide.
Holy shit.
He's doing about four feet.
Yeah, and it came with pedals. Like there was like a...
It was serious.
There was
like
a gas pedal, a brake pedal, and a clutch because you had to shift gears
too.
That
sounds fucking cool as fuck.
No. No.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It's awesome.
Was it awesome?
Yeah, it was.
You have to have it on a table.
Who gives a shit? I didn't say it was functional or it was practical.
Yeah, you're mad about this. You're so mad about the controller.
You wouldn't need a coffee table, but it was awesome.
Yeah, but I don't give a shit if I'm going to Gus's house to play it.
Yeah.
That doesn't take away from its coolness. It takes away from its practicability.
I don't think we have the same...
Practicality.
Yeah.
I don't think we have the same...
Practicality?
...level of what cool is.
What is your level?
I have to. If it's cool, it can't stop me from getting laid.
You're an idiot.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that nose working out for you with the cool? does it affect you when you go to make out with a girl with your nose? I don't know how we got on your nose today.
I've never made out with anyone without my nose, so I'm not sure. I only know how to make out with this nose.
Well, you knew. You could have a detachable nose. That'd be great.
We're
talking about your nose a bunch today. I never think of your nose. When I see you, I don't think Gavin has a big nose. I think the
literally
we're talking
about he brought it up. What did you say? Yo, the fucking
I was Dr. Pepper and I went plink. I don't know. It's just massive compared to everyone else.
Yeah, you do have a big nose.
Right,
but
it is. We've all accepted it and moved on.
Yeah, we don't ever talk about it or make fun of it until this podcast.
So if you look at me, Bernie, what is the first thing you notice about my appearance?
I hate your stupid hair. I think I hate your hair and your girl's body. You have a woman's body.
I like your hair.
What's womanly about this?
What's that? You're very slight. You're very slight.
I'm just skinny.
But then you take off your shirt and you're just like a bear rug.
Yes, Gavin is like Robin Williams. All right, maybe not that much, but close.
Yeah.
It's pretty dense.
See, it's just like, I just want to hit your face.
Why?
It's just like...
Are you like Jack?
No,
No,
I'm serious. Like, I've said this to Gavin before. His face is like, it's okay when he's not pissing me off, but when he's pissing me off, like, I want to punch him so much more than if you piss me off the same way, I'd be like...
It's that smug British face.
He's smug as shit.
I got a pretty good streak of him making Michael mad as well. Michael gets mad at me. Like, he got mad at me earlier about the, what was it? The thing? The burp sound? I could see the glare in his eye. I got the look. I got the, that wasn't me. I was burping. I was just talking.
I was just talking.
But I'm now disappointed because I thought we were going to make it through a whole goddamn podcast and not talk about somebody wanting to hit Gavin.
It's been like four in a row now.
I didn't say. Well,
it's always Jack, though.
I'm not saying
no one else wants to hit you.
I'm not saying I want to hit him. You specifically
he just said
yeah.
it.
You did.
But you said like describe what his face says. I'm just saying his face says hit me. I don't actually want to hit Gavin. His face is like punch me. He's got a fucking very douchebag face.
Feed me dicks.
Yeah, right?
Gavin, I have nothing but love for you. No, I never have thought about hitting you, except even when you're drunk, and I actually did hit you, I didn't want to do it.
Did you see at Fan Expo, Jay or Dan made a drawing of you riding Bernie?
Yeah, he didn't draw the feather boa, though.
That's true.
I was disappointed. So apparently he was even given a pink pen, he just didn't draw it on.
Yep, didn't think about it. Fucking asshole.
That is one of the few things, Bernie, that I feel bad about doing, and is that VidCon trip.
I hear you.
Because I had a smashing time. I was having a blast.
But that's just guilt you have over being, like, ridiculously drunk. I totally get that, you know? And you were fine. It was just like, I had enough.
It was all... Well, the fucked up thing about that story was you all had just come back from Australia, so your time zones were way off. So this was, like, at fucking 3 or 4 in the morning.
And mm-hmm. I also had the subconscious rage of having my end bumped into the urinal. So it was subconscious feedback.
Subconscious rage.
I was trying to get him back for something and somehow.
You didn't know what.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was there in the
like
dark recesses of your mind.
I'm like punching him and tackling him in the legs and a part of me is thinking, this feels right. I don't know why.
You should be, the whole time you're like, do you need to go to the bathroom, Bernie?
Gavin gets really fighty when he's drunk.
Yeah.
I do. I get wrestly. But
he gets wrestly. It's true. Grapply.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of I have to deal with a lot of like sticky desk and like occasional punches and people telling me they want to hit me all the time. That I think subconsciously it builds up, and when I'm drunk, I get a little release of that.
Boils over.
Yeah, and it just reduces my bar back to an acceptable amount.
No, but I don't know how it does because you barely remember it though the next day.
Okay. Well, yeah.
You just wake up and you know your bar has been reset.
Wouldn't it be
but you're not sure how.
If you got revenge on someone and then forgot. I guess that was the plot of that Memento movie.
I just saw Memento and they said that, like, you know, he could get revenge and not remember.
Like he'd already killed the guy.
Well, you're spoiling the end of the movie, but yeah, okay.
And he kept just killing guys.
It's the beginning.
He kept convincing himself that this was the guy, kill him, and then he would go and kill another guy.
Right.
He was just a serial killer.
But then they kind of resolved all that by the end of the movie.
Did
right?
they?
There was a guy using him in it? Yeah. But it's a good movie. You should go see it if you haven't seen it.
Well, not now, because you know how it ends.
No, but literally, it's the beginning of the movie. It's the first shot of the movie. It's that guy getting shot.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, well, then you can see it.
You never seen Memento?
No.
It basically starts at the end, and then you go back like 10 minutes, and it goes back to the end, and then you go back another 10 minutes, and it goes back to where you left. It's like, it's a really weird order.
It's right. Reverse.
Basically. It's not in reverse. You're not watching it backwards.
We have a word for that.
But it works in stages. And it's also intertwined with stuff happening forwards, but in the past.
I think they have it streaming on Hulu and Netflix, too, I think. So
it starts with in chronological order, it starts with the black and white and ends with him shooting the guy in the head.
Right. Did you like Memento?
I did.
Yeah?
There's just really funny moments where he'll just, like, appear in a situation running, and another guy's running, and he's like, am I chasing this guy? I don't know what I'm doing. He just carries on running, and then the guy shoots him, and he's like, nope, I mean, he's chasing me. Yeah. And there's one bit where he just appears in a bathroom, so he's like, oh, I guess I'll take a shower. And what he doesn't know is he's knocked out a dude in the other room, and then the guy like busts in on him or something. I can't remember. It's a good movie. It's kind of funny, like the situations he finds himself in. And as the audience, you're dropped exactly where he is, so you don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, it's an early Christopher Nolan film. It's like, especially if you liked Inception, you should watch Memento. That Guy Pearson, too. Mm-hmm. I like him. He's a good actor.
Yeah. He's not in a lot of stuff.
Man, he was in
Hurt Locker. He was in Hurt Locker for like 5 minutes.
Spoiler. Yeah. But yeah, he's not in a lot. He was in, I think his biggest movie was
Memento?
I want to say L.A. Confidential.
Oh, he was in that.
Yeah, he was
L.A. Confidential was a good movie. I haven't seen that since the theater.
Well, it's hard to see a bunch of movies now that you've already seen. I mean, how often do you go back and watch a movie again?
Yeah.
You know?
I want to rewatch it. I remember really liking L.A. Confidential.
Let me see.
Who's in L.A. Confidential?
What's his name? The guy I hate, Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, yeah.
That blonde chick that was married to Kim Basinger.
Yeah, he's in – his biggest ones are Memento, L.A. Confidential, Hurt Locker, and something called Neighbors. I guess that was one of his early films.
Wasn't he in Prometheus?
Prometheus. No, you think he played the android, you think, in
no.
Prometheus?
That's no, a dude he played the old guy.
He did play the old guy in Prometheus, yeah.
You know, it's so weird,
good job,
too.
Gavin.
Thanks.
Somebody made a really good point about Prometheus. So there's a character that appears in the movie. It's a super old dude, and it's played by Guy Pearce in old dude makeup. But why do you cast an actor and put them in old dude makeup if you're never going to show the person young?
Yeah, he is actually shown young, but it was in like
a video. So
it was like supplementary. It wasn't even in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but there's no point. Yeah. I felt at some point like this liquid was going to de-age him, and it'd be like, hey, it's a young guy, Pierce. No, right. They couldn't try. And also, old makeup has never been convincing ever.
Yeah, ever. At any point.
Do you think there would be like an old actors union that would like rally around this
right.
cause?
And I've also, all I think of now...
Sag.
But all I think of now when I see... When I see an actor in old makeup, I just think of Johnny Knoxville and Spike Jonze walking around as old dudes.
They looked awesome, though.
They did look awesome.
Yeah, when they did that stuff.
They looked awesome. They looked better than most movies.
Yeah.
They looked better than most old people. It looked more realistic.
Okay, I'm going to start trying to wrap this up. So what are you going to interrupt me with here, Bernie?
Did you read the story about... I want to say it was Progressive. I should probably... allegedly.
Yes, it was Progressive.
This is crazy. Okay, I'm going to try to paraphrase here based on what I read, okay? So you have to go look up the story yourself and read it because it's a court case where essentially this woman had Progressive as her insurance carrier. And she was struck and killed by a driver who didn't have as much insurance as she did. So it was the other driver's fault, and this driver did not have enough insurance. Well... her policy with insurance that her family tried to collect on said that if she was struck by an uninsured or negligent driver... Or underinsured driver, that her policy was worth X amount, like $100,000. And so basically Progressive said, well, we can't prove that he was negligent or underinsured, so you're going to have to sue him in order to determine that he's negligent. Once it's proven in the court of law, then the policy will kick in and be in effect. So they made him jump through all his hoops. They said, well, we don't want to sue this guy... in court, you know, we just don't want to go through that process as a grieving family. Progressive said, well, that's the only way you can do it. So they said, okay, I guess we'll sue the guy. They go to sue the guy, and when they show up in court, the guy is represented by an attorney from Progressive. They represented their client's killer so that they wouldn't have to pay as much money.
Oh.
Isn't that the weirdest thing you've ever heard?
That's so fucked up. Like, it's cheaper to pay this attorney to defend the guy who killed her than it is to pay $100,000.
One of those things
that is awful.
It's one of those things that just makes sense on paper when you write the numbers out. Yeah, we should defend the guy because it's cheaper for us in the long run if we defend the guy and get him off than to just pay out the policy. But then they're paying...
Where do they find that piece of paper? In hell?
I know. So as a client your client is paying you to insure them, and then when you need the policy, they're like, oh, we're going to defend your killer because it'll be cheaper for us. Wow. Dude.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you make that call? How do you just like decide you're going
to
do that? It must
be nice to be able to be a person, because obviously some person made that decision, but be able to hide behind a giant company. It must be... I mean, what point do you start doing that? Making like morally incorrect decisions, but just be like,
nobody knows, come back to me. Yeah,
it's just Progressive.
I'm a guy in an office.
You know, I can tell you that, you know, we're coming up on 10 years as a company. We're now at about 40 people at the company. But for a long time, there was just five of us working here. And that was like 4, 5, 6 years that we were like that. Mm-hmm. I watched that, like as a company grows, watched little decisions that can take place like that. Like I was in a room one time where we were talking about t-shirts. And this is very relevant because we just got back from Canadian National Expo where we had to go to Canada, take a bunch of our merchandise up there and then bring it back. Actually, they sold all of our merchandise.
Yes, they sold everything.
That's like the greatest thing ever.
Every single thing.
No, yeah. Yeah.
They don't ship anything back. With anything.
Nope. They don't ship anything back. It was perfect. So, but there was a time when we, of course, had to ship some stuff back. And we learned that there's this rule that you can only import something to the U.S. once. Maybe it's specifically with cotton or clothing.
I think it was, yes, shirts.
Yeah. So our shorts, it turns out our shirts were made in Ecuador. Mm-hmm. And so we imported them to the U.S. to print stuff on them. And then we, you know, ship them to people and whatever. That's fine. We could take the shirts to Toronto, but then anything we didn't sell, it turned out we were going to have to leave in Toronto, okay? Oh. Because we couldn't bring it back into the U.S. because it had already been imported once from Ecuador. I don't know why this rule exists.
How does that like determine? Like, how do you know that?
Well, I mean, we could try to skirt the law and say, you know, we're not doing it, but I guess we had to declare it. And if they put it on you to declare something, always declare it.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, they can look at the fucking tag on the shirt. I'm like, made in Ecuador right there.
Yeah. And if they find out that you didn't declare it, you can be really fucked. Like, those penalties are much bigger.
That's annoying.
So anyway, so we're in the office and we're talking about that. And I said, well, if this is a big debate, how much is it to buy a blank shirt, essentially, as we call them blanks before we print on them, a shirt that's made in the USA. Because then we can, if it's made in the US, we can just import it and export it as much as we want to and take it to cons all day long, like to Australia, to Toronto, wherever. And we determined it was 25 cents more per shirt to do that. And I said, we were like, oh, well, it's only 25 cents more. Why don't we just make all of our shirts made in the USA? Let's do that. And then we're like, oh, that makes sense. Totally makes sense. And then somebody, I forget who it was, I want to say it was, you know, somebody, they did the calculation on how many shirts we sell. And they came up, well, 25 cents a shirt, it actually turns out to be a significant amount of money. Look. And they held up how much it is. And then somebody goes, oh, well, yeah. Well, maybe we should think about it in terms of, like, what's best for the company. And somebody else goes, yeah. Picked up on that immediately and goes, yeah, it's probably better for the company if we just do this and we just plan our conventions a little better. And it's like, yeah, it's better for the company. And I was like, what? There's four of us in this room. Who are we talking? Who's the company? It's like we invented this thing called the company. We're the company. And we're talking about it like it's something else.
Yeah, it becomes an entity. It becomes a...
That's exactly it. I watched that process take place. And it was something where we decided we were in the process of making a decision where we could make this thing we didn't want to do, but we were going to put it on this thing called the company, like the company wants us to do it.
But it's we like, don't want to do it.
Yeah.
The company forced us.
So what's the weirdest change for you going from so long as a 5-person company to now a 40-person company? Is there anything that you like? Are there things that happen where you're like, well, that wouldn't have happened?
I can't find a fucking parking space.
Yeah.
Now we had problems with parking in Buda, though, too.
That's because that was an apartment.
I guess so.
You know, we first.
I love the fact that your first office was a living room and a kitchen and a bedroom.
Our first office was my house.
Yeah, but that was bedroom in my people house. People didn't go to work every day in there, did they?
They did.
People shot up Monday to Friday in your bedroom.
But they weren't office hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the office. Was the apartment.
Yeah, it was an apartment. Because it had everything we wanted. It had a fridge, and it had a dishwasher, and it had a sink and a bathroom.
I remember that was because it was full. It was no room for me when I used to come because, you know, you guys would be in the living room, and then you'd be in the bedroom. Jason would be by the toilet for some reason.
He was by the washer-dryer connection.
Yeah, right. And I would just sit on a stool at, like, the kitchen bar.
Right.
And that's where Gus used to change my desktop background.
I can't think of the weirdest thing. I mean, probably all the travel. I had never been out of the country before we started Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, I got my first passport for a Rooster Teeth trip.
Never. Americans don't travel.
I'm sure I'll do the same. I still don't have my passport.
I'm sure everyone in England has traveled multiple times.
Your country is the size of half of our states, man. I mean, that's why. Look, I had been to Minnesota. I've been to New York. If you go to New York, the equivalent of New York, you're in goddamn Italy. That's why. It's just we have a bigger country.
Yeah, but a lot of people haven't even ever left Texas. They've been born here and never left.
Texas is huge. Texas is bigger than your fucking country.
Yeah, all right. Bad example.
it's just hard
to escape in one day.
There's a weird stat, too, I read that – I forget. It was a really high percentage. I want to say it's like as many as 70% of people die within 50 miles of where they're born.
That's sad.
Isn't that crazy to think about that?
Is that America?
Are you within 50 miles of where you're born?
Yeah, I'm probably within 10 miles of where I was born.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I was born in Austin.
You just had like this look on your face as you were.
Yeah, I was like, that's fucking sad. Like, oh, wait, no.
He literally had that, oh, fuck, look on his face where his eyes got real wide. And he went,
I live. I think my house is like 2 miles from where I was born.
I would not want to die in the same hospital I popped out in. That'd be, it'd be like ending my life back where I started. Something weird about
it. It's like a Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah. If you follow, like, if the dot starts when you were born and then it draws a line all around the planet where you went in your life and ended on the exact same dot, there's something quite sad about that.
Is it sad?
Don't know.
If you never go anywhere in your entire life, that's a little bit sad.
If the dot just stays like right around there.
If your dot's all over the place and you come back, I don't see how that's sad.
It'd be interesting. Right. I want to map
this. We're going to wrap up unless you're looking up something there, Bernie.
I'm just looking up that stat to see if I can figure it out.
All right, we'll link it in the dump.
But I was going to say, but going back to a discussion we were having earlier about the annoying thing, the most annoying thing to me of it inconveniences people who are doing the right thing and it's just trying to prevent people from who are doing the bad thing is anything and everything that has to do with piracy and copy protection.
The steps you have to take to get something that you bought to work sometimes.
And the new thing is now you have to be connected to the internet for some of your stuff to work. And then the pirated versions have all that stuff stripped out. They don't even see it. They don't even touch it. They have a better version than I do.
Yeah, the only thing is most times it's more convenient and easier to use when it's a pirated copy.
Since we do animation here, we have copies of Maya and 3ds Max, which we've purchased legally through Autodesk.
Thank you.
Which are a fucking pain in the ass. Anytime we have a licensing problem, I have to go, call someone or talk to someone. I think, if I just downloaded this off the Pirate Bay, we wouldn't be having this problem.
No, I wouldn't have to be on the phone right now.
I paid, god-awful amounts of money to Autodesk to have to call them anytime I have to reinstall.
Or it's the same with...
Or transfer license to a new computer.
Yeah, to another machine. Or, this person's hard drive died. Time to put a new one in. Oh, my God.
And it's the same for, even buying a license, especially with Final Cut 7. You can't go through the standard way of buying it online anymore. You have to, call a specific number to get a license for that now, don't you?
Correct.
That's just annoying. You can't buy it. Because they released Final Cut X or 10 or whatever.
Because they're trying to push everyone to the shitty version.
The one that's in the App Store?
I have never seen a group of people reject Apple's push. They were shoving everyone in and everyone was just absolutely not. We are not using this.
Right.
Do you think anyone went from Final Cut 7 to Final Cut X?
But God, but I can't believe that Gavin uses that new scrolling methodology they have where you scroll up to go up.
It makes sense to me on a trackpad.
On a
mouse, I don't do that.
Right.
iPhone where you do like this to scroll down instead of like that.
And on the trackpad, instead of scrolling down to move your page up, you got to picture it like you're actually pulling the screen. So by dragging down, you're pulling the page down.
Are you talking about
on your computer? Yeah, on your computer.
On like a laptop.
See, it doesn't matter to me because I don't have an iPhone, so it makes perfect sense. Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying.
They put it on laptops and the actual Macs.
So you ever use a mouse with a scroll wheel?
Yeah.
You want to scroll down the page, you do this, right?
Yeah.
That would scroll up now.
Interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense on a Mac. But I've got to the point where I have several computers and they're all set differently to the point where I can adjust almost immediately. I can just take one scroll and be like, I'm doing this now.
Yeah, it's the almost part.
It's
awful.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Okay, we're gone really long.
What do we do for lunch today?
I want pizza. No, I want grilled cheese. There's a grilled cheese place up. No, we can't go there.
Want Jersey Mike's.
We already had it.
All right, I was trying to keep the illusion alive.
Oh, well, we
you guys have already eaten?
Yeah.
Bitches.
It's like fucking 4 o'clock.
What do you want to go for lunch?
I want a grilled cheese sandwich.
There's a good grilled cheese. There was a grilled cheese place that was outside of E3. Why is there no grilled cheese trailer in Austin?
There's a grilled cheese restaurant up at the Triangle.
What the fuck kind of restaurant is that? We got cheese and bread.
It's artisanal cheeses and artisanal bread.
Oh, shit. All right, I'm sold.
I ate at an awesome place a week ago called Barley Swine. Mm-hmm. You should go eat at that place, guys.
There's a variant of that place, or another place like Barley Swine that just opened near where I live called the Salty Sow.
The Salty Sow?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do this same thing where they give you the little plates, or it's a normal size plate, but it has a little bit of food on it. So you order four or five plates.
I hate that shit though.
We've discovered
Give me a fucking big plate of food. I hate the little bits of food.
Nope. You need to try different stuff.
No, fuck that.
We found this place called Bangers. Have you ever been to Bangers?
I have been there.
Tremendous sausage and probably the biggest selection of beer I've ever seen.
The
wall just full of 50 beer taps.
You ever been to the Gingerman?
Just go to the Gingerman.
Yeah. No. You would freak out.
Would I?
No. You would freak out. You'd be like, Gavin freakouts are the best.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.
So there was this other time that we were...